Games. Andy Murray's lost the first set against Ernest Gulbis at the Artois Championships at Queen's. He's in the hunt for a quarter final spot there. And Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson and Adam Scott will tee off in the next few minutes as the US Open gets underway in California. The early leader there is Patrick Sheehan at 2 under par.
City Sport. City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
And the weather for Liverpool, the North West and North Wales this afternoon. Sunny spells with just some isolated showers. Highs of 15 degrees Celsius, that's 59 degrees Fahrenheit.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Make a kitchen the heart, the soul, the centre of your home.
And you've got the very latest live from Liverpool. I'm Alex Davis.
City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, welcome to Drive Time between 4 and 7 here on City Talk 105.9. It's Paul Jacobs taking you through until 7 when the sports boys take over. My thanks to the Davis sisters, that's Alex and Becky, and to Dino as well, of course, between 1 and 4. I'm up there in the cafe, and the patisserie in the cafe may well have been absolutely sumptuous, but it's nothing to what I've got down here. Where am I? I'm at Calderstones Park. I'm at the International Tennis tomorrow. The weather is absolutely gorgeous. It's sunshine, it's cotton wool clouds, and the best tennis players in the world are around me now. But we're not just talking about tennis in this 3-hour show. Oh, no, sirree. Did anybody watch the Apprentice last night? Fingernails are biting. Unbelievable scenes. We'll be talking about the Apprentice and Lee McQueen, the winner, and he lied on his CV. Have you ever done that before? Is it legal? Can you be sacked for something like that? Even though you haven't even got the job? Should you be considered? It should be bye-bye at the door straight away, shouldn't it? And what about the terror vote as well last night? Big furore about that, because have Labour just got out of jail with a free card? Because that's what it seems to me. What do you think? Give us a bell if you do. Don't forget, of course, as well, we'll be through with all the weather, all the traffic and travel throughout the 3 hours of the show. And here at Calderstones Park, I tell you what's really, really interesting. When I was a wee kid, I used to come here during the day and sort of the early evening in the summertime. I used to play footy with my mates, had a great time, but you just wouldn't believe from when I was a kid how it's changed dramatically. What they've done here is quite amazing. I spoke to Alan Mills earlier on, who was used to be the tournament referee for Wimbledon tennis. We'll hear from him later on in the show. And he said the first time he came here, the whole of the field was basically underwater. And when he was asked to be tournament referee, he said, well, where's the tournament going to be held? And he was told, actually, right here where you're standing. And he couldn't believe it. I think he nearly resigned on the spot. But what they've got now is this. They've got a centre court, which is all these makeshift stands on four sides. Absolutely wonderful, with all the flags of all the different nations taking part here as well. And then they have six practice courts all around. And do you know what was really weird? I've come walking in, got my accreditation, and who's playing on the court right in front of me for about 10 minutes? It's the one and only former Wimbledon champion Pat Cash was there. Martina Hingis actually gave me a wink, believe it or not. I think she needs to go and see the optician as well, as far as that is concerned. But we've got the big names here, and the great thing about the Calderstones International Tennis Tournament is this, is it's got all the youngsters, the up-and-coming youngsters coming here. And the last four winners of this tournament, it's been going for 7 years, have all gone on to make the top 25 players in the world of the men, and three of them in the top 50 of the women. It's a breeding ground. It's what tennis is all about. If you've got a kid that loves a tennis and has a natural aptitude to play this most fantastic game, get them down here. You've got until Sunday to do so. It's dead cheap to get in. Kids are treated like kings and queens here, and it's the most fantastic atmosphere, the greatest ambience. And I'll tell you another thing as well. If you get fed up with the tennis for a little bit of a while, go to the greatest park in Great Britain. I tell everybody about Calderstones Park. It is absolutely different gear. And it hasn't changed an awful lot since I was a wee kid either, as far as the makeup and the lie of the land, but it's just the most tremendous place to go. So, what are we talking about on Drive Time? We're talking tennis, the Calderstones International. We're talking The Apprentice. We're talking about the Terror Vote as well. But as always, if you've got a view on anything, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a bell, 01517 08105. 0459. If you don't want to be heard on the phone live on radio, that's not a problem at all. We can sort that out for you. Text us. Text the word talk, followed by a space, your message. The number, if you haven't already got it, is 61025. And email me, paul at citytalk.fm. Goran Ivanisevic is just walking past me now. He's going out. He's played his game against Pat Cash. Not sure whether he won or lost. But my word, the school kids here absolutely adored both of those great players, each of whom won the Wimbledon men's singles title, of course, once and no longer. And poor Pat Cash has got this great big strapping on his knee. He can hardly walk around, actually, after one single match. But boy, does he look fit. Fit in one way for you, ladies. Fit in another way for me, guys. Well, at the start of the day, I went on a tour of the arena to catch up with some of the people working on this tournament.
OK, we're on centre court now. With me is Derek Cowan, who I suppose he's the head of all things groundsman-wide. I've just seen he's just been painting the lines, the tram lines. He's been measuring the net. But this is not just about this sort of week, is it, Derek? This is all year round, isn't it?
Yeah, after the big tournament, they have a parks tournament. So every single court's used, and there's about 28 courts actually on here. People don't realise that the stands are covering probably about 6 or 7 of our courts, what we use for the parks tournament.
But I used to play here with my dad about 30, 35 years ago, and to see the transformation is, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's so professional, and the standard of the courts, I mean, they really are top class, aren't they? But tell me about the work you have to put in day in, day out to make them like this.
Usually, I mean, it starts up, the build-up to it, about 8 weeks before, and it's just an ordinary field then, so we have to gradually get the grass down to a height we can manage then. There's 9 courts that are used up here. 5 of them are sand-based and the other 4 are clay. Right. So about 6 weeks before, we have to put 50 bags, 25-kilogram bags of clay on each clay court and spread it out. So when the kids have been playing football, rugby, cricket all year round on it, the clay drops into where the stud marks are and any little divots, holes. So that's how we get our level on them. But when the tournament's actually on, we start about 6 o'clock in the morning to get the covers off. Because you have to cover them every night, even if no rain's forecast, just as an insurance, because the weatherman never gets it right 100% of the time.
Tell us this, Derek. I mean, it is an exact science. I saw you measuring the net there. If it's a millimetre out, it's not good enough, is it?
No, it's got to be perfect. We've just set it all up, measured it, but the umpires will still come and they'll measure it themselves.
They'll
go over it. Yeah, they check all. When it's a singles game, we put what's called single sticks in the tram lines. They even come out and measure them because they have to be exactly the same distance from the inner white line as what the centre of the net is in height.
7th year of the tournament, how long have you been here for?
7 years.
A whole 7 caboodle out from since the start.
Yeah,
and how's it grown in the time you've been here?
It's got massive now. The first year, the courts weren't as good as this because we weren't expecting the tournament the way it was, and we got dropped in it about 8 weeks before.
Oh, really?
So every court was still sandy, and they had the world number one at the time, Marat Safin. He turned up, hit a serve, and the ball bounced about 6 inches, and he just looked at the floor as if, what have I let myself into?
And I know Goran's had the word because he wasn't too happy a couple of years ago, and he says the courts this year are unbelievably good.
Well, the last time he was here, about 3 weeks before the actual tournament went on, we had a quad bike on the centre court because you don't get security 24-hour for like 10 days before. So a quad bike come in, done its best to rip it up. So that's why they were all there. They were uneven and the grass was patchy. But there's nothing we can do at the end of the day when we go home. It's open to the public again because it's a public park.
Right.
So the year after, we got to rip the court up, level it with a laser beam on the back of a tractor.
Wow.
Yeah, and then lay the turf again. But it's still on a slant because the whole field drops about 4 foot from top to bottom.
Right.
So it's not perfectly flat, but it's perfectly flat on a slant, which they're happy with.
We're talking to Derek Cowan, who's in charge of all things grounds. Well, he's the chief groundsman, basically. And he's taking it very easy in his stride. He's very laid back. So we're not too far away from the first match, Jackson against Tomic. What will you do from here on in for the rest of the day?
There's about 50 Norwegian kids turned up, so I've got 2 courts down the bottom to set up for them. There's a game going on what they call number one court at 12 o'clock, so I've got to get that one set up. It still hasn't been mowed or marked yet.
Do you want to walk around with me then? So, and tell me, do you play tennis yourself?
Not since school, no.
You're a fussy man, I take it.
Yeah, I think 99% of people in this city are, aren't they?
And tell me, we're used to watching Wimbledon on TV when it rains an awful lot, then all of a sudden the covers come on. How quickly can your guys get the covers on this centre court?
it probably takes about 20 seconds to get
that
a cover.
Quick? Wow.
Yeah, because we've got a brand new cover this year, and it's the same principle as Wimbledon, right, where it's all on straps, so it's pulled out with the straps this year instead of manually back-breaking stuff the way it used to be.
Okay, we're coming off centre court now, Derek. We're going to walk. We're going to go towards number one court, yeah? The stands are all around centre court, and number one court, the first match is going to be at midday. What's the differential in the quality of the courts, or do you just try and make them all to the same high level?
There's no difference between number one and the centre court.
Right.
They were laid exactly the same. We've done the laser beam on this court.
Right.
All the others are just practice courts. There's slight bumps and divots, but for practicing,
right,
it's more about the firmness rather than like how bumpy the court is.
So are these all the practice courts in front of now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, these are the 6 practice ones, and then there's 2 down the bottom just for if any public want to bring a tennis racket and just come and have a game.
Have a knock-up.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I've been told I'm going to have a knock-up with a famous player out and on, and I'm quaking in my pants. I've bought a spare pair of undies with me, actually, to be honest, because if Goran Ivanisevic sends one down at 95 miles an hour, I better watch out, hadn't I?
That's it. We was watching him yesterday, and even the likes of Barami and Emil Nastasi, they struggle with his serve, and they know exactly what it's about, so good luck to you later.
Right.
Cheers. That's Derek Cowan, who's chief groundsman, and they're just about to get started on centre court. Cheers. Have a good day, Derek.
All right.
Paul Jacobs on City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, that was Derek Cowan, who's the head groundsman here at the Calderstones International Tennis Tournament. Absolutely fantastic. And I actually played against Barry Cowan, who took Pete, the great Pete Sampras, to 5 sets at Wimbledon once. You want to hear that? You better stay here with us on Drive Time on City Talk 105.9. And now, though, it's time for the news headlines so far today. And one of the UK's top politicians, Shadow Home Secretary David Davis, has dramatically resigned because of the terror vote. He'll now stand as the Tory candidate in a by-election to protest against the government's plans to lock suspects up for 42 days without charge. A full investigation's been promised after a senior official lost top secret files on a train. A member of the public found intelligence on Al-Qaeda and Iraq security forces on a service between London and Surrey. A man's been remanded in custody charged with the murder of a shopper in a supermarket. Kevin Tripp was attacked after an apparent row over queue jumping at the Sainsbury's store in southwest London on Tuesday. And Mr. and Mrs. Rooney are celebrating their first few hours as a married couple. Colleen and Wayne braved the rain in Italy's Durazzo, where they had a small civil ceremony in front of close friends and family. That's the news headlines so far today on this Thursday late afternoon. Time now to catch up with the traffic and travel with Kieran.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. Over on the M62, narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles an hour and a lane closed on the entry slip road. That's due to roadworks on the M62 eastbound there at junction 6 of the M57. That's the Tarbuck Island. Over on the Dock Road, both ways closed due to that bridge maintenance work between Blackston Street and Paisley Street. One to watch out for there because it's ongoing till May of next year. Over in Port Sunlight, one lane closed and a speed restriction of 20 miles an hour due to roadworks on the A41 Newchester Road. That's both ways between the Bolton Road roundabout and Pool Lane. Over in Warrington, speed restrictions of 40 miles an hour on the A57 Manchester Road. That's both ways between the M6 Junction 21 and Manchester Road. And over in Wallasey, roadworks and temporary traffic lights on Cameron Road. That's both ways between Twickenham Drive and Grant Road. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If you have any updates and it's safe to do so, 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
And here's a message for van owners about the Volkswagen Transporter. Transporter owners may want to press the TP button and return to your station at this point, because you already know about the Transporter's reputation for built quality and are already happily sitting in a comfortable cab, enjoying a strong TDI engine. Happy in the knowledge that your van is one of over 10 million sold worldwide. You still with us, Transporter owner? Still sounds good, doesn't it? The Transporter from Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles. Let's go to work.
Liverpool, European Capital of Culture 2008.
Are you creative?
Energetic.
And full of ideas?
Then come and work with us.
At Halton Borough Council, we'll give you all the training you need to work from home as a registered childminder. So for a taste of a new career working with children, visit our Childcare Information Day on Wednesday, June the 18th at Halton Lee Shopping Centre. Or call Halton Children's Information Service on 01928 704 306 or click halton.gov.uk now.
In association with National Childcare Month.
Look, if you're reading the Sunday newspaper now with bits everywhere, then recycle it. And then it could come back as another newspaper. Or a magazine could come back as another magazine. You know the ones with all the people who are getting married? Or that one with all the posh people in who say Lord and Lady Twit and Mr. and Mrs. Thing. So recyclenow.com. The possibilities are endless.
International Street Marcus has arrived in Williamson Square and Tarleton Street. And the heart of Liverpool city centre is alive as traders from around the world bring flavours and goods from across the globe. From unique gifts to fabulous foods, experience the world in one city in the heart of Liverpool's very own retail area. The Giraud International Street Marcus is here till Sunday. Brought to you by the Business Improvement District, creating a cleaner, safer, vibrant city centre.
To be taught by inspirational professors and top academics.
To have access to the country's best educational resources, including the fastest growing virtual learning environment.
To focus on my future career.
To discover a life with more meaning.
That's why I chose Liverpool Hope University.
The Liverpool Hope Open Day takes place on Saturday, June the 21st. To find out more, click hope.ac.uk or text HOPE to 84880.
Text charged at standard network rate.
This is Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, we're on drive time to 7 o'clock. Where am I? Calderstones Park for the International Tennis Tournament. Now, I don't want to worry my engineer here, Craig, but this whopping great big cloud has just come over above me and looks like it might dump a few gallons upon us. So I've got one eye on the cloud, one eye on the microphone, and one eye on the computer as well. And by the way, Craig's stuffing himself with cakes. I've had absolutely nothing. So if you're listening, Mick, the producer, you know and what you missed, but we'll make up for it in our own very little way. Hey guys, did you watch The Apprentice last night? What a fantastic finish it was. Of course, the £100,000 job went to a chap called Lee McQueen, who's the fourth apprentice. He's from Buckinghamshire, Princess Roseborough to be exact. He actually earned £78,000 before he grabbed this job from Sir Alan Sugar, a £100,000 jackpot. Well done to him. However, did you watch the episode where all the remaining apprentices to be were grilled in interview-like style? It was quite unbelievable. And did you remember how Lee, possibly the only negative part of what he did, well, actually there were two of them, because his spelling was awful on his CV, how he lied blatantly about what was on his CV, how long he'd been doing university, and it was 2 months he was actually there for, and he said he was there for 2 years, I think it was 4 months actually, there was for 2 years. Quite unbelievable. Now I know if I'd have put that on my CV and a prospective employer had found out about it, there is absolutely no chance that I would have got the job whatsoever. So I needed to find out basically what the ins and outs of what the parameters were as far as employment law was concerned. So on the line now is Peter Mooney, head of consultancy for employment law at the advisory service. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm very well because I'm sitting out in the sun here. That cloud has gone away in Calderstones Park. It's lovely for the tennis tournament. But you know, last night when we had the final program of The Apprentice, and I remember watching most of the series, the first time I've ever done it. I was quite impressed, actually. But what I wasn't impressed with, this boy Lee, who won it, Lee McQueen, was that he lied on his CV. Now, is there any comeback in law for someone who does that, gets the job and it's found out later on?
In real life, yes, there is, because that can very often mean that the person would be dismissed. If he's lied on his CV and it's something material in terms of his qualification for the job, what his experience has been, or even failing to actually say whether he had any previous convictions if you're required to disclose those. So
the conviction thing is the big thing,
between getting the job and losing it.
The conviction thing is a big thing, isn't it, really? I mean, if anybody lies about that, that's good night nurse straight away, isn't it? But what about such little things as maybe someone's age as well?
Well, even age can have an effect, although not perhaps as serious as, say, lying about how, you know, your university qualification or lack of it. But in certain circumstances, it can affect any benefits you get, like your pension entitlement, life cover, all that sort of thing, or even, you know, the age for driving a vehicle. That can also have an effect. So the answer is don't do it.
What about if your employer, Peter, finds out about it, calls you up to the office, personnel, human resources, and said, okay, listen, you need to own up about this. You've got this wrong. You've lied about yourself. But we'd like you an awful lot. However, because you've lied about certain parts of your makeup, we're now going to take £10,000 off your annual wage. Would that be legal at all?
If it was done correctly, yes. We've actually had a situation which didn't end like that, but where someone represented that he was earning £29,000,
right,
being the going rate for the job he was said he was doing, but he actually only earned £19,000. But there were other factors in that where he lost the job anyway. But that's quite material, because it's very often the salary you're paid represents the situation. So if the real situation is uncovered, then that could quite mean that you'll drop down the salary scale, as long as they follow a proper procedure to do it.
We're talking to Peter Mooney on the back of The Apprentice. Peter, who is head of consultancy for employment law at the Advisory Service, and of course on the back of what Lee McQueen, the winning apprentice, said on his CV. He lied blatantly, but hey, Peter, he got away with it. Now, isn't that not going to encourage other people to see that Lee, on the stage of television and entertainment with Sir Alan Sugar there, if Sir Alan Sugar lets it go, why won't other employers let it go?
Obviously, Lee was caught out and looked very embarrassed, didn't he, when he was found out?
As anyone would.
Then he went on ahead and won. But that was, like, getting that job was the prize in a long-running show on television. So that doesn't reflect, although he's told you're hired or you're fired, doesn't reflect proper employment law. Obviously, now he's got the job, he'd be subject to it. And whilst you say, well, Sir Alan Sugar gets away with it, they'd be mixing, what is in fact television show with reality. So you wouldn't get away with it in real life if you thought you would try.
You see, Peter, I have to disagree with you there, because here's a guy who's put in a CV for the show, and we're told it's exactly the same CV he was going to put out to prospective employers, which is absolutely shocking.
Which is shocking, really, because if it was out to proper employers and they found out, he'd lose the job. Here, he's got a prize as a result, £100,000 salary. So you have to wonder at the reality of that, where obviously Sir Alan Sugar has turned a blind eye to that. But hopefully he won't uncover anything else now he's got the job.
Tell us, Peter, what's the worst case of lying you've seen in the job front?
There's all sorts, depending on the severity. One chap got a highly paid IT job based on total false CV,
right,
in terms of his qualifications. He was only on the bottom rung of a qualification, but he represented he'd got the whole lot. That cost him the whole job, even though it was 6 months before they found out. So he had been doing the job for 6 months, and that cost him the job.
Was he doing the job well?
There seemed to be no fault over the way he was doing it, but the fact that he had lied on his application form and also on his CV, that cost him the whole thing.
So the fact that he was doing the job well, it wasn't enough to save him?
Not enough to save him at all.
Terrible, isn't it? Absolutely terrible.
Amazing what goes on out here.
Tell me, when someone lies and they've been earning money from their company, let's just say that example for 6 months, so let's just say they've earned 12, 15 grand, are they then liable to have to pay that money back to their employers?
No, in theory, that would amount to a breach of contract.
Yeah.
In this particular case, he didn't have to pay it back, but he did lose the job. And there was no notice pay or anything like that. It was gross misconduct.
Right.
I've seen other cases where someone has lied about his background in a job where he was supposed to declare it in terms of criminal convictions. And these were minor convictions when he was a teenager, nice. Young lad, Tearaway, and this is like years and years later, when he was in his 40s, because he lied in a situation where he was supposed to make full disclosure as a condition of the job, not only by the employer but by law. This is a care situation. He lost his job, even though these convictions were as a young lad in his teens.
Now, I actually lied on my first ever CV. Of course, I've put it right since. I said I got geography A-level B, and I actually got a D. How bad is that?
Well, that's just a misprint, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it was the typewriter actually got it wrong. It was a long time ago, by the way.
So, I mean, that's not material, is it? Because you had the qualification. It was just the grade. I wouldn't think that anyone's going to frown at that.
Very quickly, Peter, before you go, have you ever lied on your CV?
I haven't. Not doing this sort of job.
Are you sure?
They catch me out, unfortunately.
Well, thanks to Peter Mooney. Cheers, Peter. Thanks for coming on board. Peter Mooney from the employment lawyer from the Law Advisory Service. How interesting that is, that certain things maybe you can get away with these, and other areas you can't. Hey, but on the biggest stage on TV, Lee McQueen got away with it scot-free and indeed got a reward of a £100,000 job. And Paul Jacobs on Drive Time for City Talk 105.9. We're live at glorious Calderstones International Tennis Tournament. The sun has come out again. I'm going to put my head back and soak in the rays because it's bang on 4:30. It's time for the news headlines. Here's Alex Davis.
Members of Liverpool's Arabic community have met with the top man of Merseyside police to discuss protection fears. It's since the murder of Highton shopkeeper Abdul Saeed Al-Selwi last month. He was shot dead in his own newsagents. A boy's recovering after being stabbed in a Northampton school. The 14-year-old's being treated for a chest injury. His condition isn't life-threatening. More than 1 million people have signed a petition against plans for super surgeries. Doctors say it'll ruin family GP clinics. And it's been dubbed the wedding of the year, but it's got off to a damp start. The heavens opened in Italy as Wayne Rooney and Colleen McLaughlin tied the knot. It's thought the lavish ceremony cost around £5 million.
City Sport. Everton have put a stop to rumours they're chasing Yossi Benayoun this afternoon, dismissing the claims as absolute fantasy. Reports this morning had the midfielder down as a possible target for David Moyes, but club officials say it's never been on the agenda. It's thought Moyes is still weighing at making an approach for Bristol City youngster Cristian Ribeiro, although City boss Gary Johnson says he's had no contact yet. The first Anfield friendly in 5 years is reportedly being penciled in for August with Atletico Madrid, the visitors. Fernando Torres' old club are thought to be in negotiations about a match on the 8th of August, ideal preparation for the Reds for their Champions League qualifier. Meanwhile, Martin O'Neill is standing firm on Gareth Barry, with the two clubs locked in a stalemate over a fee. Villa holding out for £20 million, Rafa's latest offer of £14 rejected this morning. Germany or Croatia could join Portugal in the quarterfinal of Euro 2008 this evening. They meet in the day's afternoon kickoff. Later, Austria and Poland must avoid defeat if they're to have any chance of qualifying from Group B. The second golf major of the year is underway now. Tiger Woods, once more favourite for the US Open, despite a troublesome knee problem. Sergio Garcia, Luke Donald and Paul Casey expected to lead the European charge. England's Nick Doherty says everyone is out to make a name for themselves.
I think good players are measured on winning at the top level, which I've done. But to be a great player, I think you have to be a major champion. And, you know, certainly it'd be one of my ambitions in my career to win majors. And, you know, to win one early at the age of 26, say, like I am now, would be superb.
And Andy Murray's levelled sets against Ernest Gilvis at the Ottawa Championships at Queen's. They're poised at 1-1. Meanwhile, Andy Roddick's already through to the quarterfinals after being handed a walk by his opponent. Marty Fish forced to retire hurts after the first set, leaving his appearance at Wimbledon in doubt. There's more sports in half an hour. City
Sport. Some biscuits in there.
Welcome back to Drive Time. It's 4:33 with Paul Jacobs out here. It's just the most wonderful sight at Calderstones Court. I'm right in front of all the practice courts. There's 2, 4, 6 of them. And what the greatest thing is, you've got young kids playing with some of the seasoned pros. We had on just before, as Pat Cash came off his match with Ivan Ivanovic. I can't even say his name. Ivan Isovich, he played with two little girls. They must have been about 7 and 9 years of age, and they were pumping the ball back to him. And the looks on their faces were just absolutely incredible. It was the nicest thing to see. And one of the mums was standing on the side, and I had a quick word with her, and she said, you know, this has been a little girl's ambition for ages. She followed Ivan Isovich just before he retired, and she just couldn't believe it. And she stood there starstruck for about 5 minutes, and then Ivan said to her, come on, let's go and play on court. And she ran on full of beans like Zebedee. It was absolutely wonderful to watch. Cornerstone's International Tennis Tournament is where we're coming from on Drive Time with City Talk 105.9. And I've been speaking to some of the spectators, many of whom have come from outside the city.
Paul Jacobs on City Talk 105.9.
The Wrexham.
Oh, from Wrexham. Oh, not far from where I was born, in Chester. Actually, I'm a Sestrian, is that right?
Yes.
Who have you come to see today?
Veterans, anybody?
Yeah.
Goran.
Oh, yeah. You want to see Goran Ivanisevic?
Yeah, we were here yesterday as well, so yeah. We have seen Pat Cash.
Oh, you saw lovely Pat Cash.
Yeah.
Did you swoon?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Anne.
What's your name, my darling?
Angela.
Angela, is he as nice as he used to be 10, 15 years ago? It's over 20 years ago since he won Wimbledon, isn't it?
Pat?
Yeah.
No, we like Goran the best.
Why is it Goran? Why is Goran for you?
Yeah, he's about my age.
So you're not from Croatia?
Yes, he's lovely. Yeah. Goran's lovely.
What's your name, my darling?
Vicky.
Where are you come from, Vicky?
I'm in Cheshire.
Oh, you come from Cheshire, have you? Yeah. Oh, that's the posh part of North England, isn't it? And who are you looking forward to see?
Oh, I think Barami and Nastasi.
Oh, Mansell Barami does all the tricks. And is Nastasi here today? Have you seen him?
Playing doubles with him.
Getting all excited?
Oh, yes. Of course we do.
Was he your pin-up boy when he was playing?
I never actually saw him play when he was in his playing days. I've only seen him since he's been doing this, this exhibition tennis that he does. Yeah, he's great fun.
And what's your name, my darling?
Penny,
and who are you looking forward to seeing?
I'm looking forward to seeing Nastasi and Pat Cash, so that would be good. Because in the days when I used to watch tennis a lot, it was the Australians that ruled the world. So.
They did, didn't they? And did you play yourself?
I used to, yeah. Not anymore. I broke my arm and it's never been the same since.
Would you like to get on a court with Pat Cash?
Oh, yeah.
I see all the ladies' eyes, they all lit up there when I mentioned what I like to get on a court with Pat. It's a good job I didn't say anything else. Well, ladies, have a really great day. Maybe we'll speak to you later, because I want to see how your eyes light up when Ili Nastasi comes on court and starts doing the Joker thing, because he's brilliant. He's great entertainment, isn't he?
Him and Barami are wonderful at that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Load of school children here. How lucky for them. I never got this when I was young. But that was about 50 years ago. Let's speak to teacher first of all. What's your name, darling?
Mrs. Reed.
Never call by first names, teachers. You know, respect, that's what it's all about. What school are you from?
Walton Juniors.
And what year are these kids in at the moment?
Year 6.
Okay, let's go to the kids at the moment. We'll speak to Mrs. Reed as I nod with reverence as we move the way. What's your name, my darling?
Emma.
How old are you, Emma?
11.
Is this the first time you've come and seen live tennis?
Yeah.
Do you play yourself? Tell me, what sports do you play?
I play football, swimming, and then sometimes I play a little bit of tennis.
Are you good at tennis?
I'm okay.
What's your best shot at tennis? Forehand, backhand, smash?
Backhand.
All right, fantastic. Do you know who's playing today on the court?
Jackson and Tomic.
All right, you're going to give it large and cheer dead loud?
I think so, yeah.
Right. And what's your name, matey?
Joseph,
he's got a Liverpool Football Club hat on, never mind, he's got the wrong colour on. Joseph, do you play tennis?
Not a lot, but I play a bit.
Yeah? So football is obviously your favourite sport, isn't it?
Football and golf, I'm
okay. And who are you looking forward to seeing here today? Any special people, any special players?
I was looking forward to Cash, but we're not seeing him, I don't think. And Jackson, he's from Great Britain, so...
Yeah, so you'll be giving it large to Jackson with you when he wins a point, will you?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name, matey?
I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter, how are you doing now? Tell us, tennis is your favourite sport?
It's a bit... with tennis, golf and football.
Oh, you're a real little sportsman. How old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11, okay. And you've got some great seats here, guys, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you'll get to see the players close up, won't you, as well? Are you looking forward to seeing a special player today, a particular player?
I quite like the look of Jackson, but I'm not really mad, whoever is.
Right, so you're just here, we're going to have a good crack and a bit of fun. Looks like it's a good crowd building up. Well, I'm going to have a quick word with Mrs. Reed again. Mrs. Reed, you're going to keep them all well-behaved, are you, no messing around today?
Oh, I'm hoping so. Yeah. They've done very well on the walk so far.
Are you quite a stern teacher, are you, when it comes to behaviour?
No, I like a lot of fun with children.
And who's your favourite player? Who are you looking forward to seeing today? Because I've seen Pat Cash walking around, you know.
Yes, we believe he's coming on, yeah. So we're looking forward to seeing him.
See, her face just lit up when I mentioned Pat Cash.
Those legs in the shorts.
Well, you wait till I get my shorts on. I'm the equal of anybody. Thank Mrs. Reed and her kid. Listen, guys, have a great time. See you later. Give us a cheer.
Hey.
Give us a cheer, guys. Give us a cheer.
Hey.
Tremendous.
This is Paul Jacobs on City Talk 105.9.
Actually, it caught me a bit unaware that I'm just having my tea. Cream tea in the sunshine at Calderstones Park. Absolutely wonderful. And those kids, they loved it because when they had Ivan Izovic and Pat Cash, they were playing each other. They were giving it loads. Lots of shouting, lots of singing for each player. Absolutely wonderful. More from Calderstones coming up and more from around the world as far as news is concerned. But here are the headlines at the top of the news at the moment on this Thursday evening. And one of the UK's top politicians, Shadow Home Secretary David Davis, has dramatically resigned because of the terror vote. He'll now stand as the Tory candidate in a by-election to protest against the government's plans to lock suspects up for 42 days without charge. There'll be more of that later on in the programme. And a full investigation has been promised after a senior official lost top secret files on a train. A member of the public found intelligence on Al-Qaeda and Iraq security forces on a service between London and Surrey. The man's been remanded in custody, charged with the murder of a shopper in a supermarket. Kevin Tripp was attacked after an apparent row over queue jumping at the Sainsbury's store in southwest London on Tuesday. And Mr. and Mrs. Wayne Rooney are celebrating their first few hours as a married couple. Colin and Wayne braved the rain in Italy's Durazzo, where they had a small civil ceremony in front of close friends and relatives. And good luck to them, that's what I say. Time now, though, for the traffic and travel.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. Delays and a road closed due to a serious accident on the A565 Moor Lane. That's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. Over on the M62, narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles an hour and a lane closed on the entry slip road. That's due to roadworks on the M62 eastbound there at junction 6 of the M57. That's the Tarbuck Island. Over on the Dock Road this afternoon, both ways closed due to bridge maintenance work between Blackstone Street and Paisley Street. One to watch out for there because it's ongoing till May of next year. Over in Port Sunlight, one lane closed and a speed restriction of 20 miles an hour. That's due to the roadworks there on the A41 Newchester Road, both ways between Bolton Road Roundabout and Pool Lane. And over in Warrington, a speed restriction of 40 miles an hour on the A57 Manchester Road. That's both ways between the M6 Junction 21 and the A57. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If you have any updates and it's safe to do so, give me a call 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Ha! Those kicks are fast as lightning. Ha! Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Ha! It's never easy getting your little ones out of their favourite costumes. Fortunately, new Persil Bio Powder has active microcapsules that release a just washed freshness all day long. Try the Persil End of Day Hug Test and see for yourself.
European Capital of Culture 2008.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is. You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
If you'd like to start your own business, then just ask BusinessLink Northwest. For free impartial business advice, call 0845 0066 888 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
Not you as well, mate. Congratulations on the new job, Andy.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
Blockbuster exclusives are movies you won't find anywhere else, like The Bank Job.
We are not bank robbers.
Maybe that's why we could get away with it.
Based on a true story, Jason Statham and his crooked mates get more than they bargain for when they pull off the heist of a lifetime.
I'm in position, Terry.
No, name's Eddie. Sorry, Dave.
Rent The Bank Job now, exclusively at Blockbuster. Certificate 15.
He got you into the footy. He always caves in when mum says no and is your personal taxi driver. Sunday is Father's Day, so don't forget the most important man in your life. For brilliant gift ideas or a family meal at a great restaurant, head into the heart of Liverpool's retail area. And with late night shopping on Thursdays, you've plenty of time to get your dad something more exciting than socks. Father's Day in the heart of Liverpool City Centre. Brought to you by the Business Improvement District, creating a cleaner, safer, vibrant city centre.
For 11 days only, the savings at Lookers are spot on. Take a walk around your local Lookers Vauxhall showroom and spot the deal you want today. From Thursday the 5th to Sunday the 15th of June, choose a minimum £1,000 part exchange. Choose 0% finance. Choose free drive-away insurance. Or choose £750 finance deposit allowance. 11 days, over 5,000 cars. Drive away the spot-on deal that does it for you at Lookers Vauxhall. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm fed up of going to work every day for a boss that doesn't rate me. I'm tired of making other people rich. I'd love to start my own business, but I'm just not sure where to start.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help.
If you're looking to start your own business, then speak to Business Link Northwest today. You can get free, impartial business advice to help you start your own business. So just ask. Call 0845 00666 888 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
Blockbuster exclusives are movies that you won't find anywhere else, like The Bucket List. In this hilarious and touching comedy, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman decide life isn't too short to follow your dreams.
We could do this. We should do this.
The Bucket List, now available to rent exclusively at Blockbuster.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, live from Calderstone's International Tennis Tournament. The sun's come out again. And yeah, there are perks to this job because I interviewed Alan Mills, the tournament referee, this morning. And up came Martina Hingis to give him a big hug. And I said, where's mine? I got a hug. Didn't really fancy it, to be honest with you. Coming up to the weather, what have we got for the Rangers today? Hey, get out there. If you're out of work, it's going to be sunny this evening and clear overnight. Chance of shower. Hours along the coast, though. Temperature's not too bad. Lows are 12 degrees centigrade at 54 degrees Fahrenheit. And as far as tomorrow's concerned, well, that good weather's going to continue. Fantastic. Dry with plenty of sunshine. Going to be showers later, and some of them could be heavy, so make the most of the weather this evening and daytime tomorrow. And your temperatures tomorrow, highs of 14 degrees centigrade. That is 57 degrees Fahrenheit. Time now, though, for WWW.
Worldwide Watch on City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, Worldwide Watch, where we go local, national and international as far as the news is concerned. Trying to give you a little bit different as well. Yeah. For anyone on the news you might have heard, but might not have heard about as well. And here are the international news headlines. And in Ireland, people in the Irish Republic are voting in a referendum on whether to back the new EU treaty. The document signed in Lisbon is designed to streamline decision-making. And no vote could mean it can't be implemented across Europe. In Zimbabwe, the opposition's leader has been released from detention. Morgan Tsvangirai and 20 supporters were arrested as they campaigned for the runoff election. It's the third time this month the politician has been held by the Mugabe regime. In America, there's been a huge setback in the Bush administration in Guantanamo Bay. The US Supreme Court says terror suspects have the right to challenge their detention. It's overturned a ruling that upheld a law pushed through Congress. And staying in the US of A tornado's torn through a Boy Scout camp in America, leaving four people dead and over 40 more injured. It ripped through the Little Sioux ranch yesterday evening, accompanied by baseball-sized hail. Those are the international headlines on the Worldwide Watch for this Thursday early evening. But Worldwide Watch means we go local as well. And I'm glad to say online is my old pal, Kevin Hughes from the Flintshire Chronicle. How are you doing, Kev?
Hiya, Paul. How's things?
Well, things are absolutely dandy, matey, here at Calderstones Park for the tennis tournament. You should be here. I've just had a massive meringue with raspberry and cream.
No, I'm not into that, but I wouldn't have minded the hug off Martina Hingis.
No, stop it, mate. No, she's not half the woman she used to be, believe you me. Mind you, I'm not half the man I used to be, so it makes us level, doesn't it? What's your lead story, Kev?
Well, we're leading tomorrow with a story, a health story. People, especially over in England, think that everything is hunky-dory in Wales with free prescriptions, etc. But we've got a body called Health Commission Wales, which decides how health money is spent. Mm. And that's about to be scrapped, I'm glad to say, because it doesn't seem to work. And they've been turning down people who require expensive treatment over in England. And it's caused a lot of problems. And thankfully, it appears it's going to be scrapped, which is great news.
Why has it taken such a long time, though?
Well, it does, and we've got a lady who sadly lost her husband on Christmas Eve from cancer. Now, he required £90,000 worth of treatment, or treatment would have cost about £90,000, and the Health Commission Wales turned him down and said, no, you can't have it. They eventually relented, but he got the treatment too late, and sadly, it didn't work.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. Well, that's
quite a sad story.
It is a sad story, but things have now been overturned, so hopefully you won't get such stories coming through from here on in. What's the weather like where you are, Kev?
Oh, it's pretty nice. It's a bit of sunshine, a bit of cloud, but it's pretty pleasant.
Have you ever seen tennis close up live?
No.
Unbelievable. These guys and girls are just so athletic. Absolutely great, great athletes. And the way they hit the ball at pace and so low over the net is fantastic. If you just join us on Drive Time, we are on the worldwide watch. Don't worry about that. But I am at Calderstones Park International Tournament, soaking up the rays. And unbelievable, the tennis players here. If only I could play that way, I could have retired by now. And I wouldn't have to do breakfast like Phil does. Never mind. What else have you got for us?
Well, talking about sports clubs and schools, we've got a local company in Mould has come up with a brilliant idea, which I think is absolutely superb.
I'll tell us.
And it's basically, it's a telephone line which raises cash for the clubs and schools. And it's just an information line. I don't know why people haven't thought of this before. But basically, a school or a sports club can put information on this line.
Right.
The parents can then ring in if there's, I don't know, particularly bad weather and the school might be closed, or sports day, to see sports day is going to be on and off. And of course, school secretaries, they handle 200, 300 calls in a day from parents trying to find out information. They can actually ring this line.
Right.
It makes money for the school, and the information's on there, and it's a lot less hassle. What a great idea.
Yet another good invention, unbelievable. And again, you sort of think about it, Kev, you think, why hasn't this been done before?
Well, it's just one of those simple ideas. This is a company called PRS Telecom, and they've come up with a great idea, and I think it's going to support local schools, support local clubs, and it's a good idea.
We're talking to Kevin Hughes of the Financial Chronicle on the Worldwide Watch for Thursday evening here on City Talk 105.9. This is Paul Jacobs driving you home to 7, but I don't think I'm going to be driving for a minute. I'm sitting in Calderstones Park in the tennis tournament. How about I take you to Poland, Kev? Do you fancy
that? Sounds good. Yeah, we'll go to Poland.
Okay, they're not playing all that well in Euro 2008, but here is the story from Poland, because a Polish thief got more than he bargained for when he tried to steal a pensioner's car. This is a great story. This is a good story, a feel-good story, because the owner turned out to be a karate black belt. Get in there. Wojciech Komicza, who's 71, spotted him trying to make off with his car. Now, he ripped open the car door, flipped the 41-year-old thief out of the driver's seat, and pinned him to the ground with a chokehold while a pal called police. Now, a spokesman for the police in northern Poland said he saw the man breaking into his car from his kitchen window. He volleyed out of the window, ran outside, and had him completely disabled on the floor as quick as a flash. And when the officers got there, he seemed quite relieved to be released from the man's grip. The thief picked the wrong car to steal from. Have you ever found yourself in that position, Keith, where you've got to protect your own house, car, whatever it may be?
I wish I had a black belt if I did. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
What happens is the adrenaline rush just surges through your body. And they say, medics say, you can do things strength-wise that you never thought you could do at all. You could be a Popeye in the making, Kev, you know?
Well, you never know. My wife had a handbag snatch when we were on holiday some months ago.
Oh,
it's surprising how fast you can run.
What did you do?
Well, I chased after them, and unfortunately they jumped on the back of a motorcycle and they were gone, and we lost it. But of course, what made it worse was, I say, adrenaline rush comes to you.
Yeah.
The police turned up, refused to give us a report.
Why?
And in my in my pigeon Spanish, I told him what I thought of him. He told me I was an idiot. I got in the back of his police car and refused to get out until I got a report.
But dead
I,
right.
I did eventually get a report.
I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Mr. Kevin Hughes, that is for sure, mate. No doubt about that. That's the kind of guys you sound on radio. And what else is going on, Kev?
Well, another one from Fincher, which is quite interesting, is that we've Harry Potter, the wizard, has been blamed for an influx of owls at an animal sanctuary in Hollywell.
All right.
And basically, people have been watching the Harry Potter films when they first come out and then deciding to get owls for their kids. Then, of course, they realise that they grow very big and are quite powerful birds, and they've got nowhere to put them.
Right.
This wildlife rescue centre has got about 30 or 40 of them in the minute that they've sort of trying to send out to zoos, etc., to sort of look after them. But one guy actually turned up with £1,000 and said he wanted a snowy owl for his son. When they explained to them that, I'm sorry, but they come from the Arctic and they don't really settle over here, he said, well, what about a European eagle owl? And they were told that they grow to about 3 foot,
wow,
have a 6 foot wingspan and can crush the skull of a deer. But he still wanted one, apparently.
You are kidding.
Of course, they showed in the door, but there you go.
Have you had any pets in your household, Kev?
Oh, we just got the old dog. She's getting a bit old now, but there you know, she's still going along.
And they say that every dog looks like its owner. What type of dog have you got, Kev? Come on.
It's an ugly one. I've got a question for you, actually.
Fantastic.
This is quite good. This is a story, actually, from New Zealand. But the McMurdo base station at Antarctica have just had its last shipment before winter sets in.
Right.
There's 125 scientists and staff stationed at this centre, and what do you think was their last shipment before the winter, the ice comes and they can't get any more deliveries?
Water.
No, 16,500 condoms, would you believe?
Why?
Well, they said that because it's such a small community, it's embarrassing to ask for them, so they just make plenty available free of charge.
Absolutely awful. Kevin, very quickly, what's happening in the next week? We've got about 20 seconds.
Right, we've got Rugby Under 20 World Cup, South Africa v Samoa at Wrexham tomorrow.
Nice one.
That's Mole Theatre. We've got the Dean Alan Gilbert Society. Kerwis Show, Agricultural Show, Real's got Abermania, Flandidno's got Chaz and Dave, the Cockney Chaz and Dave, Chaz and the Non-Stop 60s with Vanity Fair, PJ Proby and Mike Pender, who sang Sweets for My Sweet, if you remember that, among others.
Oh, lovely. Well, looking forward to that. Kevin Hughes, who probably sings in his bathroom, no doubt, from the Fincher Chronicle. Cheers, Kev, from the World Wide Watch.
Cheers, Paul.
We go to the big issue.
The Big Issue on City Talk 105.9.
A really interesting big issue for today. Don't forget, of course, the Big Issue starts off every morning with Phil and Kim on brekkie between 6 and 9. And this is what the Big Issue is about today. This is what we want you to vote on. Listen to this one. Today sees the launch of Forbes magazine's most powerful celebrity on the planet list. I wonder if Mick the producer's on there. The influential publication reveals its annual take on the movers and the shakers in showbiz. And it got us thinking here on City Talk 105.9 about the big, bad world of celebrity. As you and I worry about such things as the credit crunch and how to protect our homes, Wayne and Colleen are set to wed this week in a wedding reported to be costing a staggering £5 million. Now, the exclusive pictures will be featured in a celeb magazine that's set to fly off the shelves next week. So tell me, Voice of Liverpool, why are we so obsessed with celebrities? More people vote for reality TV shows than general elections in this country, and many of our children are growing up with one ambition in life. You know what it is? You guessed it, to be famous, but with no discernible talent. Just check out the latest series of Big Brother for living proof. Now, are we to blame for putting Z-list celebs where they are? And do the readers of Heat magazine have a lot to answer for? You can vote on citytalk.fm. This is the Big Issue for Thursday. Celebrity worshipping is only for the sad and the lonely. Do you agree?
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. Delays and a road closed due to a serious accident on the A565 Moor Lane. That's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. Over on the M62, narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles an hour and a lane closed on the entry slip road. That's due to the roadworks there on the M62 eastbound at Junction 6 of the M57. That's the Tarbuck Island. Over on the Dock Road this afternoon, both ways closed due to bridge maintenance work between Blackston Street and Paisley Street. That's one to watch out for there because it was causing heavy delays last night. Over on Port Sunlight, one lane closed and a speed restriction of 20 miles an hour due to roadworks on the A41 Newchester Road. That's both ways between the Bolton Road roundabout and Pool Lane. And in Warrington, a speed restriction of 40 miles an hour on the A57 Manchester Road, both ways between the M6 there, Junction 21 and the A57. That's your latest traffic and travel. If you have any updates and it's safe to do so, give me a call on the travel line 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
Yeah, my thanks to Kieran. We're at on drive time at the wonderful Carlos Owens Park. The international tennis tournament, and the veterans are on court one in the centre court now, playing there, strutting their stuff. Mansouf Sarami is there doing all his special skillful stuff. What an entertainer he is. But out here on the six show courts, all the youngsters are now preparing. They have also a junior tournament here, and some of these guys, aged 15, 16 and 17, could do things I could only think about even 20 or 30 years ago, and I'm only 33 years of age. It is a delight to see. By the way, if you want to come down here, get on down. We're in South Liverpool. It's Allerton. You can either come to Mather Avenue or Menlove Avenue. I think the Menlove Avenue one is it 74 or 75 bus. Mather Avenue is the ubiquitous 86 bus. There's gangs of them. They breed overnight. There's no doubt about that. Okay, what's happening? The 5 o'clock hour on City Talk 105.9. Well, gangs going on. There's more from the tennis tournament here as far as the Calder Stones tennis tournament. We're going to be talking to Alan Mills as well. You're going to hear me having a knockout with Barry Cowan. Dare you miss that? It's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life. The time now, though, to go around the globe with the news headlines and Alex Davis.
Across Merseyside.
On 105.9 FM.
And DAB Digital Radio.
This is City Talk.
This hour, shock exit for Tory MP. And in sport, Villa won't budge on Barry.
City Talk
News.
Good evening, I'm Alex Davis. Tory MP David Davis has dramatically resigned as Shadow Home Secretary in protest against the terror vote. His resignation will trigger a by-election in his constituency in East Yorkshire. He says he'll fight the government's increasing intrusion into people's lives. The Lib Dems won't put anyone up against him. Party President Simon Hughes explains why.
If a sitting MP wants to stand and test that issue, it seems to us that we should enable that test to happen and let the Labour government put up the alternative case and see how they do in that seat.
Members of Liverpool's Yemeni community have hailed talks with Merseyside's chief constable a success. Leaders from the Arabic Centre asked for a meeting with Bernard Hogan Howe in wake of the murder of a Highton shopkeeper. Abdou Saeed Al-Selwi was shot as he worked at his news agents there last month. A number of figures from the Yemeni community spoke out, saying they weren't getting enough protection from the police. Najib Al-Halkimi was one of those who spoke with Hogan Howe and says it's given them new hope they can live trouble-free.
I think yes. I think, you know, during the through the dialogue, through the negotiation, through the, you know, working in partnership, there is always a way forward. They were very understanding about our fears and frustrations, and we're going to carry the message back to our community and, you know, tell them, you know, the outcome of the meeting and for us to work together with the police.
The jury at the trial of the man accused of murdering Jill Dando has heard he used to play with guns and fantasise about being in the SAS. A witness also claims Barry George stalked women through parks in London. He denies shooting the TV presenter on her doorstep in 1999. A man's appeared in court charged with murdering a shopper in a supermarket. 57-year-old father of one, Kevin Tripp, was attacked on Tuesday at a Sainsbury's store in South London. It's thought he was the victim of mistaken identity in a row over queue jumping. 37-year-old Tony Virasamy has been remanded into custody. A mobile phone thief in Cheshire has made over £1,000 worth of calls and texts in just 24 hours. The victim is now urging other handset users to take care. With more, here's Natalie Quirk.
Police say over a 27-hour period, calls and messages were sent in some cases with just three-minute gaps in between. Officers say this was a deliberate and systematic crime, possibly committed to make money by calling premium rate lines set up by the culprit. The victim from Ellesmere Port is calling for anyone who loses their phone to contact their network right away.
Around 600 truckers are expected to cause chaos on the M6 this weekend. A fuel protest on the carriageway in Cheshire is planned. Organisers say interest is growing. They're set to run a go-slow of around 40 miles an hour. And it's been dubbed the wedding of the year. Liverpool's sweethearts Colleen McLaughlin and Wayne Rooney have finally tied the knot. The couple braved the rain in a luxury villa in Italy in front of 80 family and friends. It's thought they've signed an exclusive deal with OK magazine worth £2.5 million. It's thought other footballers' wives and girlfriends went to the ceremony. Claire Challis is the author of the beautiful game A Wag's Tale and says they would have been fighting to outdo each other.
I mean, the important thing with wag weddings is always to be different. The interesting thing, of course, will be the other wag guests, because they will have been planning what to wear. They'll probably be taking four or five outfits over there, probably even planning a change mid-wedding themselves.
Now here's Becky Davis with your sport.
City Sport.
Thanks, Alex. There's still no breakthrough for Liverpool tonight as they try and price Gareth Barry away from Aston Villa. The Reds had another offer of around £14 million cash knocked back earlier, with Martin O'Neill holding out for £20. Everton have laughed off speculation, linking them with a swoop for Yossi Benayoun, describing the reports as fantasy. Club officials say taking him across Stanley Park has never been on David Moyes' agenda. Croatia and Germany just getting underway in today's afternoon kickoff in Euro 2008. Later, Austria meet Poland, both having to avoid defeat if they're to have a chance of qualifying from Group B. Andy Murray survived an injury scare to go through to the quarterfinals of the Artois Championships at Queen's. The Scot fell heavily while changing direction for a shot, but returned after treatment to beat Ernest Gulbis 5-7, 6-1, 6-4. And Tiger Woods has had a nightmare start to the US Open, a double bogey on the first as play got underway at Torrey Pines in California. Steve Stricker and Patrick Sheehan, the early leaders, at 2 under par.
City Sport.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
And the weather for Liverpool, the North West and North Wales. Isolated showers tonight, but mostly dry. Lows of 12 degrees Celsius, that's 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Make a kitchen the heart, the soul, the centre of your home.
And you've got the very latest live from Liverpool. I'm Alex Davis.
Jacobs. City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, this is drive time, and we've got an outside broadcast yet again. Yeah, we're getting out to the field. It's what I want to do with drive time on City Talk 105.9. Get out in the community and tell you what's going on, make you aware what's going on. How many of you out there listening to City Talk 105.9 knew about this Calderstones tennis tournament? How many of you are Pat Cash fans? Hey, plenty of you, I'm sure. How many are Goran Ivanisevic fans as well? Because they are down there at the moment, and you could actually come down this evening. I think play is going to be open until about 8 o'clock because the weather is set fair, and you could actually get your picture taken with them or have an autograph taken with them as well. And that's what makes it so good, because you would have thought, oh, Calderstones, many people thought it's a Mickey Mouse tournament. It is far from it. We have the top three women's players in the under 17 section here playing. We've seen them on the court as well practicing, and they are absolutely phenomenal. I remember when I was a little kid, I could never really afford to join a tennis club. And what you can do here, if you come here this evening or even tomorrow of the weekend, if you come in early enough, bring your little kid with you, get them a tennis racket, or they can borrow one from here, and you can
can actually line up and have a rally with some of the top tennis stars of the last 25, 30 years and the tennis stars to be maybe the next 10 or 20 years. It is that all-encompassing here at the Calderstones International Tennis Tournament. The weather is beautiful, and if you get here before 8 o'clock tonight, there's a nice bar here as well, and you can have a little knock-up, even with me if you want to, although that is not advisory. On what I did earlier today, because I got the chance actually to play on centre court. It was unbelievable. It was against Southport tennis star Barry Callum. Remember him? He was the man who took Pete Sampras to 5 sets at Wimbledon. And here, at this point, I'm going to hand over to producer Mick.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.
It's City Talk 105.9, the second third of the show. We're coming live from Calderstones, the International Liverpool Tennis Tournament. Producer Mick has taken over the reins from Paul Jacobs because Paul is about to step onto centre court and face Barry Cowans in a bit of a singles match. Paul, you're with me now. You've only just got your racket. How does it feel to be united with this piece of equipment?
Here's a guy who beat Pete Sampras, and I want to change my undies, quite frankly. I haven't played tennis for 30 years. Played this guy at Sports College. He was my best mate from Holland. He was the under-17s champion. Gave me love 30 start in every game. Beat me love, love, love over the 3 sets. So I haven't got a snowball's chance of even getting one ball back over the net. And I'm the wrong side of 55 as well, so I've had it.
Your opponent, as you say, is Barry Cowans. Barry, you had a very famous victory at Wimbledon a few years back. How does it feel, though? You're from Southport, to be playing tennis in a great atmosphere like this in Liverpool.
It's great to be back. I was going to feel a little bit nervous coming out here playing on centre court, but listening to Paul's story, hard luck story, I'm now feeling very confident that I will get the win.
Seriously, though, how much have you enjoyed coming here, soaking up this atmosphere, playing on a great court like this?
Well, I was here from day one when this tournament started. I think Anders Borg, the tournament director and promoter, has to take a lot of credit to get this tournament as it is now. And the courts have improved every year. And the lineup as well. This year we got past Wimbledon champions, got Hingis, got Ivan Isovic, and of course we got the legends in Ilie Nastasi and Manzor Bahrami. So they're here to entertain, and I think that's the most important thing about the game of tennis, is to entertain the public.
Well, I understand we've been beckoned onto the court now. Paul Jacobs, final thoughts ahead of this game?
What I hope is I manage to get a ball back over the net, because if I don't get a ball back over the net, it's going to be the worst experience of my life. And when I get back to the tower, everybody is just going to take the wheelie out of me. I can just hear now, Duncan Barks in his morning show tomorrow morning. He's going to have a whale of a time.
I know you're a betting man, Paul. What are the odds of you ever even returning one of these balls?
I reckon I'm 5-1 to return at a ball. I reckon I'm 16-1 to win a rally. And I'm infinity to one to get out of here walking on both legs.
Paul, I'll let you take up your moment on the baseline as Paul Jacobs steps away to face Barry Cowans on centre court at the Liverpool International Tennis Tournament. The serve is underarm. Cowans returns with a backhand. Jacobs with a baseline forehand. It goes long, but Cowans returns it out of sympathy. Jacobs again with the cut slice. It's into the net, though. It's love 15. Cowans with the left-handed forearm. Jacobs wide and long. Paul Jacobs with the backhand into the net. That's a love 30. Cowans fires in a backhand, which Jacobs returns. Cowans again with the backhand on the left hand. Paul again long, but returned by Cowans. Jacobs really getting to grips with the surface here as he starts to return, and he fires off a winner, but it's just wide. Paul Jacobs, love 40 down. We're in a new rally now. Cowans with the backhand, favoured shot. Paul again, long and wide. It's a lob shot from Cowans. Jacobs smashes down, and he's put under pressure. To the baseline, it stays in. Paul lobs the ball high, and it bounces in. Cowans with the smash. Returned. Paul with the forearm. Long and wide, but once again returned out of sympathy. Jacobs with a winner. Close. Backhand. He's done it! Paul Jacobs scores a point against Barry Cowans at the centre court here at the Liverpool International Tennis Tournament. It's probably safe to say that'll be his first and last.
Paul Jacobs. On City Talk 105.9.
That is different class commentary from Mick the producer. I have to say, when you go on a court, now there are maybe 300 or 400 people there, and you do get quite nervous. But then when you get into it, all you're worried about is not to make a fool of yourself.
And I did make a fool of myself. And it was a great commentary for Mick, the producer. So he'll now be hired by Steve Hothersall now to do all the other matches that Steve can't do. I managed to return one or two, but it wasn't the best. Oh, by the way, you can actually see the pictures. They're going to be online at www.citytalk.fm. I believe the video is also going to be on there quite shortly as well. But do you know what is even better about Barry Cowan? He never got anywhere near to winning an international tennis tournament. I think he was ranked British number one for about 3 or 4 months in his time, but no longer than that. But here's a man who took Pete Sampras to 5 sets at Wimbledon and arguably should have beaten him. And I remember after the commentary, he set himself up to do a serve at me. And I remember I was standing inside the baseline. All of a sudden, I went back by about 4 or 5 metres. I thought, no, please don't hit it hard, please. I'm only a little journalist. And he whacked it while I had no chance whatsoever. And that's the great thing is if you come here, you can actually play against the professionals, the past former winners of Wimbledon here, and all the British greats as well, and you can have a go on court. It's absolutely amazing. Now, coming up still on Drive Time on City Talk 105.9, where we're driving you home to 7, we are going to talk about other things away from the tennis here at Calderstones. We're also going to talk about the big, big vote last night in the House of Commons, of course, where the government just about scraped home, the Labour government, a majority of 9, which allowed the 42-day detention to come into being to be law, to hold terror suspects, only a 9 majority. But of course, there have been after effects of that because, of course, David Davis has resigned. There'll be more on that story later on in the show. And the usuals, the regulars are going to be here, of course. We will have Secret Scorer coming your way. And, of course, the outcome of the big issue as well. It's coming up to 5:13 on City Talk at 105.9. And by the way, can I just tell this other thing as well? And we talked about this, it was a couple of days ago here on Drive Time. If you are going to take your kids here, do make sure you bring the sun cream, because my word, when the sun comes out, it is very, very, very warm. And this is the kind of weather when they can just get sunburnt and they don't know about it at all. So it's worrying. Now, I haven't put mine on. Craig, the engineer, is with me. Have you had yours on, Craig?
No, and I'm burning up already.
You see, but he's very, very fair. I'm very dark-skinned, so it doesn't really bother about me in any case. But the sun is still out here, so if you've got a chance to come down, come on down. Let's get the news headlines making the story so far, though, on this Thursday evening. And Shadow Home Secretary David Davis has sensationally resigned over the terror vote. Now, he says he'll fight the government's increasing intrusion into people's lives in his resulting by-election in East Yorkshire. That should be interesting. An apparent case of mistaken identity has cost one man his life after an argument in a supermarket. 57-year-old Kevin Tripp was attacked in a Sainsbury's store in South London. But the wife of a failed July 21st suicide bomber has been jailed for 15 years for not telling police about her husband's plans. The Old Bailey-heard Muslim convert Yeshi Gurma knew about Hussein Osman's plot to kill 2 passengers in 2005 and that she could have stopped it. And Colleen and Wayne Rooney are celebrating being man and wife. And well done to them. The couple finally tied the knot this morning in a lavish Italian villa. Time now, though, for the traffic and travel.
City Talk Travel.
Delays and a road closed due to a serious accident on the A565 Moor Lane tonight. That's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. It's causing heavy delays around there at the moment, and the police have closed that road. On the motorways, narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles an hour, and a lane closed on the Entry Slip Road. That's due to roadworks there eastbound at Junction 6 of the M57. That's the Tarbuck Island. Over on the Dock Road this afternoon, both ways closed due to bridge maintenance work between Blackstone Street and Paisley Street. One to watch out for there, it was causing heavy delays last night. Over in Port Sunlight, one lane closed and a speed restriction of 20 miles an hour. That's due to roadworks on the A41 Newchester Road, both ways between Bolton Road Roundabout and Pool Lane. Speed restrictions of 40 miles an hour over in Warrington tonight there on the A57 Manchester Road. That's both ways between the M6 Junction 21 and the A57. And finally, over in Wallasey, roadworks and temporary traffic lights on Cameron Road, both ways between Twickenham Drive and Grant Road. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If you have any updates, and it's safe to do so, give me a call 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
And here's a message for van owners on the road. There are a lot of other vehicles between you and your next job, but there's someone out there who understands your vehicle is unique. It's a workhorse, an office, a crucial part of your business. So they work hard to keep that business on the move at all times. So if, like them, you believe there's more to a van than just driving one, visit your nearest dedicated Volkswagen van centre. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles. Let's go to work.
Liverpool, European Capital of Culture 2008. City. Every Friday at 12, our financial expert Ian Haworth from Parker Kelly Financial Services will be live in the studio to answer all your financial questions. So if you need advice on anything from mortgages and pensions to credit card debt, give our expert a call on 0151 708 1059 or email us surgery@citytalk.fm. For free expert advice, listen to the City Surgery. Weekdays at 12. We're here to help.
City Talk 105.9.
To be taught by inspirational professors and top academics.
To have access to the country's best educational resources, including the fastest growing virtual learning environment.
To focus on my future career.
To discover a life with more meaning.
That's why I chose Liverpool Hope University.
The Liverpool Hope Open Day takes place on Saturday, June the 21st. To find out more, click hope.ac.uk or text HOPE to 84880.
Text charged at standard network rate.
Phil and Kim at breakfast with Lucas Vauxhall. The biggest names.
What would you say was your greatest achievement?
Now I will see people who will say, you changed my life. You get a lot of that in America. For Liverpool people, you know, the idea of Americans singing songs that we wrote is amazing because we were always in awe. It was their music. We were nicking.
Best for exclusives.
You guarded your family fiercely during your time in Downing Street, and now here's the book.
I absolutely want to preserve their privacy, and people were writing about me anyway. They were writing about my children anyway, but they weren't always getting it right. It is an opportunity for me to speak for myself.
The views that matter.
I believe this man, given all the economic problems we've got today, is still the man. I know they complain he doesn't smile, but if you board the aeroplane, do you wonder whether the pilot smiles or whether he can fly the plane safely?
Phil and Kim at breakfast with Lucas Vauxhall. Weekday mornings from 6 on City Talk 105.9.
Just who are the Merseyside and West Lancs Lifelong Learning Network, and what can they do for your business?
Well, they can help you train your staff. They can help improve the skill base of your workforce. They can help you keep the staff you don't want to lose. And that could even help your business save money.
It's amazing what the Lifelong Learning Network can do for your business. But don't just take our word for it. Be amazed. Call them today on 0800 195 5063.
Each day, City Talk and Riverford Organic Vegetables will be bringing you our guide to eating organically. Today, we're looking at kids' lunches.
We all want to feed our children what's best for them. By choosing organic fruit and veg, you can make sure that your children grow up eating a healthy, balanced diet. Children can also have fun learning about how vegetables are grown on a farm and can even have a go at growing their own.
For more info about eating organically and to find out how you can have seasonal organic vegetables delivered to your door, log on to citytalk.fm/Riverford. Eating organically with Riverford and City Talk 105.9.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.
I have to tell Mick, the producer, that a very first thing happened to me today. Okay, this is a true story. I've gone into the car park. Now, I'm wearing my City Talk T-shirt. It's like an aqua blue. And I'm wearing the black coat over it, you know, with City Talk all over the back in the white background. Just, well, I am City Talk, basically. And this family got out the car next to me in the VIP car park. Oh, yes, I'm VIP now. I don't know why. Someone please tell me what I am. And this little boy came up to him, this thing about 7, he goes, do you work for City Talk? I said, I work for City Talk 105.9. He says, that's great, my mum loves it. And so his mum came up to me and she goes, oh, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm Paul Jacobs, do you drive time? She goes, I love your drive time, can I have your autograph? That is a true story. It's the very, very first autograph I've given out on, no, it's true, it's a true story that I've given out on City Talk 105.9. It's the first, I didn't give her a check or anything at all, and she actually gave me a kiss on the cheek as well. So two for the price of one. How chuffed am I? Dead chuffed. So you'll know from that story where I am at Calderstones Park for the international tennis tournament, and they're still playing. They're going to play until 8 o'clock. The sun is streaming down. You hear the cheers in the background. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's been a great day. There are many famous names here, loads of famous names, both tennis, sport and VIPs from the city, and they included tournament referee
Alan Mills, and he's been telling me about his life in the game.
Paul Jacobs. On City Talk 105.9.
Well, I was head referee there for 23 years, and then 6 years prior to that I was assistant referee, so I've spent 29 years in the referee's office.
And the time, the period you spent there, you must have had to deal with so many different players, good, bad, indifferent, as they say. And, of course, everybody remembers the tete-a-tetes with John McEnroe. What are your memories of that?
I knew his name was going to come up in this. It always does. But, interestingly enough, when I did my first year as assistant referee, the first player to call me out on court was an 18-year-old American playing at Wimbledon for the first time. In fact, he was having to qualify. He was an 18-year-old American college player. So I walk out to the court, and there I find John McEnroe with his headband on and his short shorts and everything, and playing somebody, and both players had called for the referee because they didn't like what the umpire was doing. And in those days, you didn't have as many line officials on court. There was probably two on court and the umpire. And all of them were amateurs. They'd probably worked in the morning and then taken the afternoon off to come and sit in the chair. And it seemed to me that he thought he was umpiring a doubles match as opposed to a singles match, because the players were complaining about his calls. So I said, OK, well, I'll stand by the court and wait and see what happens. And within a couple of minutes, a ball had landed right in the middle of the tram lines, and he didn't call it out. They both players looked at me, arms in the air, and I said, OK. So I walked on court and tried to persuade him that he wasn't feeling too well, that he'd either got a headache or something, trying to find another reason for me to say, well, let's change the umpire. Eventually, he wouldn't give in to that, and so I did change him. But that was my first experience of him.
But some great times there as well. What's your first memory?
My first memory? Well, again, I knew that when I took over as referee, I was going to be tested by the players, and by that certain player in particular. And, 6 years later, the first person who called me out was John McEnroe again, just to test me, actually, which was a very interesting situation.
Do you think consciously he did that to you?
Oh, I'm sure he did, yes. I'm sure he was waiting for something, you know, something to happen, something. He played one match and fairly straightforward. The second match, he got into a bit of trouble, so he had to stir things up a bit, which he was very good at doing.
One more question about Wimbledon, if I may, because I think this tournament is the one we want to talk about here at Calderstones. As a match referee, you were all over the place, weren't you? You know, on any given day, the busiest days in the first week. And I don't know how much tennis you get to watch. What are your abiding memories, one from the male side and one from the female side, one from the men's, one from the women's side?
Well, I think the main memory actually is, the two memories for the men actually. One when Sampras was playing Rafter in the final, and it was a rain-delayed one and went on and didn't finish till about 8:15, 8:30, when it was almost too dark to play. And I thought I was going to be called on to stop the match at either 4-2 or 5-3 or something. But nobody complained about it, and then Sampras won that set and won the title. And I walked on and asked Pat. I said, well, I know many, many players would have actually called for me on court to stop it, saying they couldn't see. He said, no, why should I do that? It's the same for both of us. And so, great, great men. And then the next one, obviously, was Rafter and Ivanisevic in the final. That final on that third Monday was just fantastic. It's just like a football match, really, with Croatians one side, Australians the other side. At one stage, towards the end, I thought, if the Croatian wins, we're going to have a stampede on the court. So I got extra police in the corners, and I got the ground staff to walk on and sit on the cover at the side. As it turned out, it was very peaceful, except I believe that night in the Wimbledon village, a few shop windows got smashed and things. Yeah.
We're talking to Alan Mills, tournament referee here at Calderstones. We've touched briefly on Wimbledon. I could talk all day to him about Wimbledon because of my great love of tennis. Let's come to Calderstones and the tournament here. And I used to play as a wee boy 30 years ago, my dad on the public courts. What a transformation. How long have you been involved with this tournament, Alan?
Well, Anders Borg, the tournament director, contacted me as soon as it was announced I was retiring from Wimbledon in 2005 and asked me if I'd come here the following year. So this is my third year here, and I love every minute of it. It is a unique event. I don't think there's anything like it anywhere in the country or maybe even the world, with the fact you get 5,000 children coming through during the week for a coaching clinics. You have a junior international match. This year it's an intercity match, so you get the better juniors playing. You've got the ATP, WTA players who are getting a lot of practice in for Wimbledon or qualifying, or Wimbledon, high standard of tennis. And then on top of all that, you have the legends. You have former Wimbledon winners. Like today, you've got Ivanisevic playing Pat Cash, and then you've got Barami and Nastasi playing. I mean, it's just, for any tennis fan, there is something for them, and that's why I think this is absolutely unique.
Well, I'm over the moon. I got a wink from Martina Hingis, so that's made my day. Tell us, for the future, where does this tournament go? It's just so friendly. The ambience is lovely, isn't it?
Oh, the ambience is amazing, actually, and bearing in mind that this is a public park, I mean, the courts are absolutely fantastic. When I first came here, I came to a press conference, and then I said, well, I'd like to see the site. So it was pouring with rain at the time, so they drove me out here, walked me out into the middle of, you know, a field, and I said, yeah, well, that's fair enough. I'm getting soaked, water's coming over my shoes, where's the centre court? You're standing on it, they said. And that's what it was, actually. And so, you know, I thought, uh-oh, you know, what's going to happen? And I had heard in the past that, you know, the courts were good, but, you know, obviously not as good as the Wimbledon ones and such like, but they're getting there now. I mean, this year is an amazing transformation, not only the stadium court, centre court, but these outside courts here. They look beautiful.
And how far can this tournament go, Alan?
Well, it can keep going, actually. I mean, it depends, actually, what is wanted, actually. I mean, you can push the juniors. You can either push for more players from Wimbledon players, making it into an official tournament. You'll still have the legends here because, I mean, that's sheer entertainment, and I'm sure that's what the majority of people come to see. I mean, if you haven't seen Barami, then you have to see him once, certainly, actually. And it can go. I mean, if you look at the names of the players that have been here in the past, I mean, Djokovic has been here, Ljubicic, Safin, you know, they've all gone up to be David Ferrer, who's here last year, you know, was sort of outside the top 10 or 15 when he was here. Now he's up to number 4 or 5 in the world. And it seems as though this is a stepping stone. And Anders Borg seems to have a knack of picking, you know, players that consequently do very well after they've been here.
One final question for you, Alan. You know what's coming. Who's going to win the men's Wimbledon title this year?
The man who beats Federer.
That's a very diplomatic answer. My thanks to Alan Mills, tournament referee, and, of course, famed for, of course, being in charge at Wimbledon. Have a great week, Alan.
Thank you very much. Will do.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, that was tournament referee Alan Mills, and what a great job he's done here. And it's still all action all around the courts, the centre court and the practice courts, as we sit in the sun at Calderstones International Tennis. Coming up to 5:30 on City Talk 105.9, it's Paul Jacobs driving you home. Actually, I'm not. I'm sitting you home in the sun in South Liverpool. Time now for the news headlines and Alex Davis.
Members of Liverpool's Yemeni community have met with Merseyside's police chief to discuss better protection. Fears have been raised since the murder of Highton shopkeeper Abdou Saeed Al-Selwi. The jury at the trial of the man accused of murdering Jill Dando was heard. He used to play with guns and fantasise about being in the SAS. A witness also claims Barry George stalked women through parks in London. Around 600 truckers are expected to cause chaos on the M6 this weekend. A fuel protest on the carriageway in Cheshire is planned. Organisers say interest is growing. And it's the wedding of the year, but it's got off to a damp start. The heavens opened in Italy as Wayne Rooney and Colleen McLaughlin tied the knot. It's thought the lavish ceremony cost around £5 million.
City Sport.
The frustration goes on for Liverpool tonight as they continue to try and crack Aston Villa's resolve over Gareth Barry. Rafa had another bid, thought to be in the region of $14 million, not back earlier, with Martin O'Neill determined to hold out for $20 million. Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid are reportedly set to visit Anfield for a pre-season showpiece on the 8th of August. The game with Fernando Torres' old side will be perfect preparation for the Reds' Champions League qualifier. If it comes off, it would also be the first friendly at Anfield in 5 years. Everton are reportedly inching closer to a deal for Derby winger Giles Barnes. The England under-21 star's worth around $4 million, although a foot injury is likely to rule him out at the start of the new campaign. Meanwhile, the Blues have today dismissed reports there after Yossi Benayoun as absolute fantasy and insists they've got no interest at all in a deal. Croatia are leading Germany 1-0 in today's afternoon kickoff in the Euros. Tonight's game sees Poland square up to Austria. Both must avoid defeat if they're to qualify from Group B. Tiger Woods is trying to claw his way back up the leaderboard after a disastrous start to the US Open. He double bogeyed the first before birdieing the fourth. The early leader is Steve Stricker at 4 under. And Andy Murray is through to the quarterfinals of the Artois Championships at Queen's. He's come from a set down to beat Latvian Ernest Gulbis 5-7, 6-1, 6-4. Murray surviving an injury scare when he fell awkwardly on the damp grass. There's more in half an hour. City
Sport. And my thanks to Alex and Becky on the news and the sport. And joining me now is our very own Mick, the producer. How you doing, Mick?
Yeah, good, Paul. How's the sun?
Well, can I tell you that the sun is streaming down here. It must be the best part of 70 degrees. There's a bit of a hellish wind going on as well, but that's fine. I can make do with that. And do you know what I've got in front of me, Mick?
Is it going to be a cake or a cup of tea or something tasty?
Not just a cake. A salubrious sponge cake. And I can tell you now that I'm not going to touch it because I just want to see it, admire it, and just take the whiff in, because it smells absolutely gorgeous. And what have you got in front of you, Mick?
Well, I've got my brain teaser for a little bit later on.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, though, Paul, just listening in there, I mean, you're talking about the smells there in front of you. You can just hear the number of people who have made their way through the gates. I was down there a little bit earlier on when you were on centre court with Barry Cowan, but it sounds as if it's absolutely packed out now.
Yeah, I think there's more people in here than there were around about lunchtime today. And the great thing is about the school kids, they get free entry in here during the afternoon. Then they go back off home and have their tea, and they come back again with the families, with the parents who've been working hard all day, and they stream through the gates. And I was speaking to the tournament director, Anders Burger. We're going to hear from him a little bit later on, and he says to me he's massively satisfied with the number of people who come through. And it's a sort of a building block for them, because it's only 7 years old, but it's only in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, Mick, they've been able to get the really big names in here, and that's what attracted people here today. And when Ivan Isovich was playing Pat Cash, the atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. And I went to record the video of the match on my phone and got told by one of the guys, "You can't do that, young man." I don't mind saying that, you know, I can't do that, that's fine, but he called me young man. I was over the moon to switch my phone off. It was fun, but it was a great exhibit. You know what Pat Cash is like? He plays to the crowd, and every time he swapped in with Ivan Isovich, he took his hemband off and he threw it into the crowd, so the school kids have gone mad.
I tell you what, when I saw him doing the warm-ups,
yeah,
for me, Pat Cash was a childhood hero. And,
really?
And to actually see him wearing the bandana, the Czech bandana, I thought surely he wouldn't still wear that. The same one. Oh, first class.
And
a pro.
In about half an hour, he must have thrown about 10 of them into the crowd. And he took his shirt off and threw that into the crowd as well.
Oh, I'll tell you what, if you can get me a bandana, I'll take one. I'm not so sure about the shirt, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very warm there at the moment, isn't it? What about, the weather's unbelievable. It was slightly overcast a little earlier on this afternoon. It's cleared up beautifully, though.
Well, I went for a run at around about 5:45 in the morning around Calderstones Park. I do it about once every 7 years,
yeah,
or so.
Right, you do.
And it happened to be the seventh year of my life around about this time. And it was beautiful this morning. Now, all of a sudden, the cloud came. And it rained this morning here in South Liverpool, in Allerton Way, Calderstones Way. And I thought, oh, no, it's going to be off today. But it was great. But Mick, it's been an amazing day of sport as well, hasn't it? Because overnight, the story broke about Big Phil Scolari going to Chelsea, didn't it? Did that shock you?
It shocked me purely because about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, you said to me, hot tip, next Chelsea manager will be Sven.
Wow.
what I was told. What I was told, and I've done my dough on it, absolutely. And where's he gone to? Mexico? What's all that about?
He's a good manager, though. I bet you Portugal aren't happy.
Yeah, absolutely. A big four, can he succeed with Chelsea?
You have to say he's one of the best managers. The only manager better than Big Phil is Jose Mourinho, and I don't think he'd be going back to Stamford Bridge anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. Now, the big story that a lot of people here at Calderstones are talking about, because they've heard about it, is the chance of a player going from Anfield to Goodison Park, or is it going to be Stanley Park to Kirby? I don't really know. Yossi Benayoun, what's all that about? What's the latest on that?
I mean, it sounds as if it's actually not going to happen.
Oh, it's not
going to
happen.
There's a fair few players who've made the switch, Peter Beardsley being the one that springs to mind to start off with. I can't see it happening, could you? I mean, it depends. I mean, where would Benayoun fit in an Everton team?
I think he'd rather stay at Liverpool and be a squad member even than a first team member of the Everton team, with the greater respect to the Blues, to be
spoken
honest with
like
you.
A true Blue.
No, I'm a Blue and I feel that. I don't think I need him. I don't think Everton need him, because basically for me he's not the most consistent of players. I don't think he'd fit into Everton's plans. I don't think he's in their kind of a profile. He's sort of a midfielder come winger, but he's neither nor is he, to be honest with you. And I think Everton need a wide man. They need width in their team. I think they need an out and out winger. And
Stuart Downing?
Oh, don't be stupid. The guy's got no pace. He's art and he hasn't got a trick. And I knew you were going to say that. He's trying to rile me. Now, Stuart Downing for me wouldn't be. Actually, if you Everton fans, if you have an idea about who you want for Everton, then give us a bell on 01517081059. I don't think Stuart Downing's right for Everton, to be honest with
Bentley?
You. Well, I wouldn't mind a baby one, yeah, but it'd be very nice. But apparently, Liverpool are not going after Bentley now.
Well, according to our man Steve Hothersall.
Absolutely. Now, tell us the latest about the Gareth Barry story, because many people are just coming in now and switching on to Drive Time on City Talk 105.9. This drags on and on and on, Mick, and I'm getting bored with it.
Yeah, I don't have the details to hand at the moment, but I tell you what, stick around, we'll bring you the details from six. We understand that they've had a bid rejected today, another bid rejected today, so we'll wait and find out from the guys in the sports team at 6 o'clock what's going on. It looks as if Aston Villa are really holding out for a certain sum, yeah. and waiting for that to come to fruition. About £20 million?
Yeah, they're not going to get £20 million for him. No, I mean, he's not worth... I mean, if Liverpool bid £20 million, they're digging their own grave financially as well, because you know what? If they do get him for £20 million and they want another one or two players to come in before the new season starts, they're basically pushing up the quota, aren't they, on what they're going to actually pay for players. And other clubs are going to take advantage of that, aren't they, Mick? So £20 million is massively unreasonable. Top price should be £16 million. And it means also, of course, that Alonso has got to go for around about that price when he goes to Italy as well. So it's a give and take situation, isn't it? Whatever Barry comes into Liverpool for, they've got to get literally the same amount for Alonso. And then Rafa Benitez has got to trade off other players and able to bring more players in. He's getting in a tight corner as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the other word in that respect is we don't know what's going to be happening to Xabi Alonso, certainly till after the end of Euro 2008. So it's a wait and see job on that. I'd be surprised if they didn't come up with something like £12 million plus Peter Crouch to Aston Villa.
Did you hear the crowd cheering for you then, Mick? They loved it when you did that. Their commentary was different class, I have to say. Is that going to go on the web?
Maybe. Let's do the brain teaser.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Tracy.
Bang your brain.
Brain teaser.
Okay, here's the brain teaser for today. A donkey is tied to a rope 6 feet long, and there is a bale of hay 8 feet away. How can the donkey get to the hay if he does not bite or undo the rope?
Donkey. Is that referring to the way I played tennis today?
So it's a donkey tied to a rope 6 feet long. Yeah. There's a bale of hay 8 feet away. How can the donkey get to the hay if he does not bite or undo the rope? That's the brain teaser for today. There's a few ways of getting in touch. Phone us 708-1059. That's 0151 708-1059. Or you can text the word talk, leave a space, and send your answer to 61025. Try and put your name and where you're from on there as well. And I'll be back in about, 15 minutes' time to reveal the answer, Paul.
Tremendous. That was Mick, the producer, talking sport with us, doing brain teaser. He does absolutely everything. He must be the most versatile man in the whole of the tower in the middle of Liverpool City Centre. Tomorrow, he might even make a cup of tea, but I wouldn't bank on it, to be honest with you. I actually thought he was going to play tennis with us, but he did the commentary as well, which is unbelievable. It's coming up to 5:41 here on City Talk 105.9. If you just come on board, you're warmly welcome, with the operative word being warm, because we're here at Calderstones Tennis Tournament. It
It is absolutely beautiful. The sun is raining down. All the kids are playing tennis on the practice courts here. There's a match on centre court still. It's the veterans who are taking part. Listen, if you've got nothing to do, get on down here, come and say hello and join in all the fun. Meantime, here's the news headlines so far today. And people in the Irish Republic are voting in a referendum on whether to back the new EU treaty. The document, which was signed in Lisbon, is designed to streamline decision making. A no vote would mean it can't be implemented across Europe. Over in Zimbabwe, the opposition leaders have been released from detention. Morgan Tsvangirai and 20 supporters were arrested as they campaigned for the runoff election. It's the third time this month the politician has been held by the Mugabe regime. And there's been a huge setback to the Bush administration in Guantanamo Bay. The US Supreme Court says terror suspects have the right to challenge their detention. It's overturned a ruling that upheld a law pushed through Congress. City Talk 105.9, it is drive time. Now, don't forget, of course, Pete Price comes your way between 10 and 2. You can argue with Pete. You can try and get on his bad side. You can try and get on his good side. But he's the most entertaining listeners on radio at the moment. So Peter Price, between 10 and 2, only on City Talk 105.9, where it's time now for the traffic and travel.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. Reports of one lane blocked and queuing traffic due to a multi-vehicle accident on the M62 eastbound. It's between Junction 11 of Birchwood and Junction 12 there at the M60 Eccles interchange. The matrix sign is set to 50 miles an hour, so steady as you go around there. Delays and a road closed due to a serious accident on the A565 Moor Lane. That's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. We're still waiting on the police to open that road there. M62 coming into town this evening via Junction 4 there at the Rockets. Busy, but seems to be moving well. Over in Birkenhead, the A41 New Ferry Bypass, both ways busy, but moving around Newchester Road, Bolton Road East and Bolton Road. Over on the A5036 Princess Way westbound, busy, but moving around Crosby Road South there tonight. And finally, slow traffic on the Strand this evening, that's southbound between James Street and Man Island. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If you have any updates, and it's safe to do so, give me a call, 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
Another suitcase. We're going to your mum's, not China.
I'm more for luck.
What a strange phrase that is, don't you think? Just as well the suspension's been tested by Vauxhall Network Q as part of their multi-point check. No room for luck there.
Buying a used car? Visit your local Vauxhall Network Q retailer or go to networkq.co.uk. Network Q. Used cars you can rely on.
Mothers-in-law, for example. One more of those wouldn't be lucky. Oh, no need for that.
And one for luck.
Ooh!
Liverpool, European capital of culture, 2008.
He got you into the footy. He always caves in when mum says no and is your personal taxi driver. Sunday is Father's Day, so don't forget the most important man in your life. For brilliant gift ideas or a family meal at a great restaurant, head into the heart of Liverpool's retail area. And with late night shopping on Thursdays, you've plenty of time to get your dad something more exciting than socks. Father's Day in the heart of Liverpool City Centre, brought to you by the Business Improvement Districts, creating a cleaner, safer, vibrant city centre.
Weight loss surgery and I lost nearly 8 stone in 15 months. It's changed my life completely. I'm happier and more confident. I now do things that I would never have done before. I can truly say that I am more comfortable in my own skin than I have ever been.
If you're more than 5 stone overweight and considering weight loss surgery, call Gravitas at Murrayfield Hospital for a free confidential consultation or check out the Gravitas weight loss website. Gravitas, changing people's lives. Call 08452 515 515.
I'm fed up of going to work every day for a boss that doesn't rate me. I'm tired of making other people rich. I'd love to start my own business, but I'm just not sure where to start.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help.
If you're looking to start your own business, then speak to Business Link Northwest today. You can get free, impartial business advice to help you start your own business. So just ask. Call 0845 00666 888 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
Blockbuster exclusives are movies that you won't find anywhere else, like The Bucket List. In this hilarious and touching comedy, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman decide life isn't too short to follow your dreams.
We could do this.
I should do this.
The Bucket List, now available to rent exclusively at Blockbuster.
The LDP Business Week.
Join me, Bill Gleeson, and the team from the Liverpool Daily Post as we talk about the big business news stories of the week. You'll have heard of the credit crunch, the volatile stock markets, and the new Liverpool One shopping development. But what do all these things mean to you? We'll be joined by experts in their fields to discuss these issues and the effects that they have on the people of Liverpool, Merseyside, the North West, and North Wales.
The LDP Business Week. Sunday morning from 11. On City Talk 105.9. This is Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, welcome to Calderstones Park, where the International Tennis Tournament is taking place. And you can hear, you know, the clapping going on in the background. I'm having a great time. The sun is out. He's got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray. And I'm having a great time. I'm still knackered, actually, from playing Barry Cowan. He ran me around the court like unbelievable scenes. I was like Roadrunner. Problem is, I didn't have the speed of Roadrunner to catch up with him, to be honest with you, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And the weather's going to stay fair. Here's your weather forecast for today and tomorrow. It's going to remain sunny this evening, clear overnight as well. A chance of showers along the coast, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. It's 54 degrees Fahrenheit. And tomorrow it's going to be fab as well. It's going to be dry early doors, gangs of sunshine, showers later. Some of them could be heavy, so get your rain mac on or take your umbrella with you wherever you're going. Highs of 40 degrees centigrade and 57 degrees Fahrenheit. Just coming up to 5:47 on City Talk 105.9. Hey, get down here. If you spent all day working your proverbial backside off, come down to Calderstones now. There's still plenty of play going on. They're going to play to about 8 o'clock. The veterans are on court. Mansour Sarami is on. He's going to actually be playing around for the next hour or so. And then the junior champions are going to be playing as well. And even if it's just somewhere you want to kind of come and relax and come and say hello to me, you are warmly welcome on Drive Time. Time now, though, for The Big Issue.
The Big Issue on City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, really interesting big issue today. Are you a fan of celebrities? You get all those magazines, you watch all those reality shows, do you? Do you? Just remember, this is a Big Brother free zone, okay? Don't you ever forget that. Today sees the launch, of course, of Forbes magazine, the most powerful celebrity planet list, all right? It's an influential publication revealing its annual take on the movers and indeed the shakers in showbiz from around the globe. But you know what? Here at City Talk 105.9, it's got us thinking about the big, bad world of celebrity. Now, as you and I worry about credit crunch and how to protect our homes on a day-to-day basis, Rain and Colleen have been married this week in a wedding reported to cost, ready for this? Ready for this? £5 million! Unbelievable. And the exclusive pictures will be featured in a celeb magazine that is set to fly off the shelves later this week. So, tell me this, Voices of Liverpool, wherever you are, north, south, east or west in Liverpool and the surrounding regions, North Wales, Merseyside, why are we? What's wrong with us? Why are we so obsessed with celebrities? Is it where we want to go? Do we all want to be famous? Yeah? Many of our children are growing up with just the one ambition in life, aren't they? I'm sure you've seen a lot of them. They ever said to you that they just want to be famous? But with no discernible talent, let me just check out the latest series of BB for Living Proof. It's diabolical. Are we to blame for putting Z-list celebrities where they are and therefore encouraging our kids to become famous? And do the readers of Heat magazine have a lot to answer for? So here's what we're asking on The Big Issue, as far as the day is concerned. Celebrity worshipping is only for the sad and lonely. Do you agree? Well, earlier on this morning, Phil and Kim on The Breakfast Show asked Professor Ellis Cashmore, a cultural expert from Staffordshire University.
The whole world has become obsessed by celebrities nowadays. People seem to walk in off the Z list, you know, off reality TV shows like Big Brother showing at the moment. And we're just devouring them, you know. It's as if these people really matter to us. And of course they don't, you know. They make no material impact on our lives, and yet we still seem to be fascinated by what they wear, what their preferences in food are, what, you know, what their sexual tastes are. You know, every minute detail about them, we seem to gobble it up. And there doesn't seem to be any signs that that's slowing down at the moment. You know, you cannot get away from celebrities. They completely surround us. From the minute we turn the radio on in the morning to when we go to bed at night, you know, they're everywhere, but everywhere. So first of all, there's just no escaping them. So even if you loathe and detest them and say, I want nothing to do with celebrities, I'm not the slightest bit interested, as soon as you leave the house or as soon as you get up in the morning, they are right there. I think what's happened over the last several years is that there's been a kind of a change in the relationship that we have with the media. The media have progressively become more and more interested in the private lives of people. Now, in the 1950s, 60s, and perhaps even into the 70s, the celebrities, well, we didn't actually call them celebrities, they were stars. You know, I'm talking principally about the Hollywood stars who were so glamorous and glorious and not just rich and famous, but almost untouchable. We could never imagine being in the same room as them. But over the years, we have got used to being privy to their, you know, yummy secrets, the things that we enjoy hearing about them, and the media has dished the dirt on them, and it's changed its relationship. I think one person in particular was very instrumental in all this, and that's Madonna. During the late 1980s in particular and into the 1990s, she just turned everything around, and I think that the rules of engagement, so to speak, between the stars and the media changed. The media were given 24-hour access to all quarters of a celebrity's life, and we became used to it. And so progressively, we've just got used to the idea of sharing our lives with other people, and we rather enjoy it.
Yeah.
Do we really enjoy it? We're asking on the big issue. Celebrity worshipping is only for the sad and the lonely. Do you agree? I have to say, from my point of view, that if you have nothing left in your life apart from worshipping other people, who after all are just human beings, that's a massive void for you. Go and get a hobby. Yeah, go and do some knitting or some train spotting. Or better still, make something more of yourself. Because I have to say, having met quite a few famous people, they ain't all they're bigged up to be honest with you. And when people meet me, I ain't all I'm bigged up to be. But then again, I'm not yet famous, am I? And I wouldn't spend £5 million on a wedding. A, because I'm not getting married again. And B, because I haven't got £5 million. So, on the big issue, celebrity worshipping is only for the sad and lonely. Do you agree? Let's hear from the one and only Duncan Box.
You know, I can't get excited about this, only from the point of view that, you know, someone gets their rocks off buying Heat magazine and, you know, fawning over pictures of, I don't know, Katie Price and Peter Andre and stuff. Do you know what? It doesn't do me any harm. I couldn't care less. So that's what you want to do in your life, and that gets you excited, and that, you know, you can get your rocks off to that, following the showbiz stuff, and that's great. Good luck to you. You know, the more intelligent amongst us will just read a book. But, I mean, it's fine. It's okay. I wouldn't say people are sad and lonely. And I kind of think there is a culture of celebrity in this country. But we only have ourselves to blame because people complain about it. Yeah, they still go out and buy the books. You know, and Sharon Osbourne writes her autobiography. You know, there's a queue all the way up Bold Street outside Waterstones. People buy the books, so it's self-perpetuating. You know, I say good luck to these people. If you want to, if you really find the world of Sharon Osbourne, you know, Kerry Katona, Katie Price, Wayne and Colleen, fascinating, and that works for you, then I'm happy for you. Okay? That's great. I think you're sad and lonely. I mean, you might have a few friends.
Is that what we all aspire to? Do you think that's what the reason is? I'm not sure. Let's see what Dino's got to say.
Well, if you want to know what I think, I'm going to tell you. Now, you may or you may not know that I've got a little bit of experience regarding the world of celebrities. I would never have claimed to be a celebrity myself. I quite dislike the word, actually. But if you didn't know, I was in a television programme for a number of years, and that attracted a certain amount of fame, simply because of the power of that little box in the corner of your living room. And we live in an age, and we have lived in an age, where people have been led to believe. If you're listening to this one, follow this argument carefully. People have been led to believe that if they're given the information, that they would actually be interested in what a celebrity had for their tea last night. They've been led to believe that they might just be interested in what's inside a celebrity's bin. They've been led to believe that they might just be interested in who that celebrity slept with last weekend. Now, when I say led to believe, what I'm getting at is that our tabloid press, the media in general, thrive off celebrities. Because that's what their papers and their programmes are full of. Stories about them. Instead of concentrating on the real news. I'm not interested in what Jane Goody's getting up to. But the papers want me to believe that I am. I'm not interested in who is sleeping with who in Big Brother. I'm not interested in the fact that when the winner comes out of there, there'll be a so-called celebrity. Go back to the days of the real stars, the real celebrities. Think of Hollywood. Let's talk about Hollywood, yeah, and the big stars. You know, the likes of, I don't know, Cary Grant, you know, Bette Davis. Real glamorous people. You know, the studios protected them. Look at Rock Hudson. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Gay actor, nobody knew outside of the industry. None of the public knew till near to the end of his life because he was protected. But these days, any old Tom, Dick and Harry can become a celebrity. People used to say to me, you know, oh, well, you know, you must have known when you went into a show. No, I didn't know at all. Didn't know at all. Didn't realise I was going to be there for that long, for that length of time. But I soon came to realise the impact and the power of that little box in the corner of the living room and the impact that it has on people's lives.
Massive impact, isn't it? We went for a meal with Dino the other day and people were whispering behind us, that's Dean Sullivan, he used to be on Brookside. So celebrity worshipping, is it only for the sad and lonely? Do you agree? 85% of you, overriding majority, say yes, it is only for the sad and the lonely, which takes us very quickly on to Brain Teaser.
Yes, Mr. Tracy.
Thank you, Brian.
Brain Teaser.
Over you to Mick.
Okay, yeah, the Brain Teaser for today was this. A donkey is tied to a rope 6 feet long, and there is a bale of hay 8 feet away. How can the donkey get to the hay if he does not bite or undo the rope? On the wrong answers, the hay's above him, not 8 feet away from him. Stephen on the docks with a couple of wrong answers. Becky, bless her, she's 11, she's from Wrexham. She says the donkey is tied by his tail. Becky, you're wrong, love. Sorry about that.
Interesting.
Daz informed me, mate, you need to go back to school. He winds around until he gets nearer. If you wind around, you'd get further away from it, Daz, mate. So you're all wrong. Mate, you've obviously not got the text in front of you today, but we normally have one texter who always gets it right by the name of Mark in Birkenhead. So go on, mate. Can you guess what Mark in Birkenhead's correct guess was?
I think it's the other end of the rope is not tied to anything.
The other end of the rope is not tied to anything.
Yeah! Tremendous! Tremendous.
So the rope was 6 feet long, the bale of hay was 8 feet away, but it didn't matter how long the piece of rope was, because it wasn't tied to the end, the other end wasn't tied to anything. That was the Brain Teaser for today. I've been defeated, and I'll get back in my box.
Fantastic. Another Brain Teaser comes your way tomorrow afternoon, Friday, here on City Talk 105.9. Courtesy of Meet the Producer, time now though for the traffic and travel with Kieran.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks for that, Paul. Reports on the M62 eastbound closed. That's queuing traffic due to a multi-vehicle accident there between Junction 10 at the M6 Croft interchange and Junction 11 there at Birchwood. Delays in a road closed due to a serious accident also on the A565 Moor Lane. That's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. Very slow traffic on the A55 eastbound. That's at Junction 32A of the A5026 Hollywell. Over McGull, traffic congestion on the A59 Dunningsbridge Road. That's northbound between the M58 Switch Island and Liverpool Road. M57 and M58 seems to be busy but moving well around the Switch Island tonight. And over on the A41 southbound's now reopened and traffic returns to normal after that lorry's been removed. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. Have any updates and it's safe to do so, give me a call 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel.
Well, thanks to Kieran as we approach the 6 o'clock hour. What have we got on the final hour of the show? We're going to be talking about the terror vote last night. 42 days has been implemented, but the cost of David Davis. And we'll be talking to Angus Borg, who is the tournament director here at Calderstones Park. The International Tennis Tournament keeps on going and going. We'll look ahead to the weekend as far as that is concerned. But it's bang on 6 o'clock. News headlines with Alex Davis.
Across Merseyside. On 105.9 FM. And DAB Digital Radio.
This is City Talk.
This hour, Q-Jump fight ends in tragedy. And in sport, Blues blast Ben Ayoun talk.
City Talk News.
Good evening, I'm Alex Davis. An apparent case of mistaken identity has cost one man his life after an argument in a supermarket. 57-year-old Kevin Tripp was attacked in a Sainsbury's store in South London. Today, Tony Virasamy, who's 37, has appeared in court charged with murder. The dead man's neighbour, Breda McDonough, is paying tribute to him.
Always heard about and things like that, yes. Always a joke and a laugh and everything else.
Shadow Home Secretary David Davis has dramatically resigned as an MP. He's protesting against the government's plans to lock terrorist suspects up for 42 days without charge. He'll now force a by-election in his constituency in East Yorkshire, which he'll fight on the single issue. The Lib Dems won't put anyone up against him. Three men have been jailed after admitting sexually abusing the same schoolgirl they contacted through a social networking website. The High Court in Scotland heard the girl, who's 13 at the time, posted her picture and personal details on FacePartie. She had sex with one man, spent a night in a hotel with another, and the third said he sent her sexually explicit messages. A boy's recovering after being stabbed at a school. He was attacked with a craft knife in an art lesson in Northampton. The 14-year-old's being treated for a chest injury. His wounds aren't life-threatening. A pupil of the same age has been arrested. A mobile phone thief in Cheshire has made over £1,000 worth of calls and texts in just over 24 hours. The victim is now urging other handset users to take care. Police say over a 27-hour period, calls and messages were sent in some cases with just three-minute gaps in between. Officers say this was a deliberate crime, possibly committed to make money by calling premium rate lines set up by the culprit. More than a million people have signed a petition against plans for super surgeries. Doctors have accused the government of threatening the family GP system by opening it up to private companies. The plans would create a network of 150 polyclinics offering a range of medical services. Dr. Parveen Agarwal says a new commercially run clinic over the road from his surgery is forcing him to close.
By having a medical centre 200 yards away from this place, I don't think it is going to serve anybody, you know, it is going to undermine three practices which are already here.
A pharmacy is going to stop providing free sun cream to people sleeping rough. The co-op's giving away 200 bottles of Factor 20. The scheme set up by a homeless hostel in Cardiff is the first of its kind in the UK. And it was dubbed the wedding of the year, and Wayne and Rooney and Colleen McLaughlin's married life got off to a wet start. The couple braved the rain to tie the knot in a civil ceremony at a lavish Italian villa this morning in front of 80 family and friends. It's thought they've signed an exclusive deal with OK magazine worth £2.5 million. Reporter Steve Douglas is in the town of Portofino and says the snappers were lying in wait when the couple left for their reception.
When they left in the same car together as man and wife, they were hotly pursued by a number of photographers on mopeds. They all know that a single shot of Colleen in her wedding dress could get them over £100,000.
Now here's Becky Davis with your sport.
City Sport.
Thanks, Alex. Claims Yossi Benayoun could be heading across Stanley Park this summer have been dismissed as absolute fantasy by Everton. Speculation this morning had linked the midfielder with a £3.5 million switch, but Blues officials have hit back, saying there's absolutely no truth in it whatsoever. Liverpool are reportedly set to announce their first friendly at Anfield in 5 years, with Atletico Madrid penciled in for a visit. Fernando Torres' old club have been in discussions about the game in August, provisionally dated for Friday the 8th, just ahead of the Reds' Champions League qualifier. Meanwhile, still no breakthrough on the Gareth Barry front tonight. Another offer of £14 million was rejected by Villa this morning. In the Euros, Croatia and Germany are just about to resume their second half, with the Croats 1-0 up through Dario Cerna. Austria tackled Poland in tonight's match. Tiger Woods isn't having the best start to the US Open. He double bogeyed the first hole, birdied the fourth, but has just hit the bunker on the sixth. Steve Stricker and Patrick Sheehan, the early leaders there, at 4-under. And in tennis, Andy Murray came back from one set down to beat Ernest Gulbis at the Artois Championships at Queen's earlier, securing him a quarter final spot. The action's been going on all day at Calderstones. Meanwhile, Goran Ivanišević beating Pat Cash in a mammoth tussle there in the Legends tie. I'm Becky Gates.
City
Sport.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
And the weather for Liverpool, the North West and North Wales tonight. Mostly dry with just some isolated showers. Lows of 12 degrees Celsius, that's 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Make a kitchen the heart, the soul, the centre of your home.
And you've got the very latest live from Liverpool. I'm Alex Davis.
City Talk 105.9.
Yeah, just came out to 6 minutes past six on the final hour of drive time on City Talk 105.9. Driving you home until 7 o'clock. I'm at Calderstones Park for the International Tennis Tournament. What a fab day it's been. I've seen Goran Ivanišević against Pat Cash. I've got a hope for Martina Hingis. I play tennis with Barry Cowan, but not very well at all. I'm now sitting out in the sunshine, just enjoying the weather. This is probably the British summer. It's probably got a day and a half to go, and thereafter it's goodbye. Going to be speaking to Anders Borg, who's the tournament director here at Calderstones, in about 15 minutes' time, and he's got some very, very, very interesting things to say. But first things first, what did you think about last night, the news that came through on the vote to hold terror suspects for 42 days up from 28? Now, you heard what I said on the programme yesterday, and I'll repeat it again if you missed it, because I think it's very important. Anything that compromises the safety and security of the people in this country, you just cannot heed by. If it's 52 days they've got to be held, if it's 62, 72, 82, 92, 100 days, then I'm all for it. But what people, I think, got to remember, and, you know, I didn't understand this law to start with, so I looked into it, researched into it. I don't know whether you understand it, the Voice of Liverpool, I didn't 24, 48 hours ago, is that it goes in stages. So, in other words, once they're held for 1 week, they're then applied to hold the terror suspects for another week, then another week, then another week. Then it gets to 28 days, and they either have to be charged or released. That has now gone up to 42 days. But you know what? I think living in a big city, a very big city like Liverpool that's on the up now, that I think that should be increased even further. But there are politicians around the country who represent you and me in Westminster that do not believe that. Hence the majority last night was only 9 votes. Only 9 votes. And the Labour, the governing party, only got through by the skin of their teeth because they needed the Irish party to help them out in Westminster. Had they not done that, it could have been the end of Gordon Brown. He could have been overturned, and there could have been a vote of no confidence in him and his ruling party actually staying in power. But something else has happened today that has changed the whole landscape, the whole political landscape in this country over the last few hours or so. Because top Tory frontbencher David Davis shocked Westminster by announcing that he was resigning as an MP for what he says, and I quote him, to take a stand against the government's 42-day terror detention plan. This is what Mr. Davis had to say.
Up until yesterday, I took the view that what we did in the House of Commons representing our constituents was a noble endeavour, because with centuries of forebears we defended the freedoms of the British people. Or we did, up until yesterday. This Sunday is the anniversary of Magna Carta, a document that guarantees that most fundamental of British freedoms, habeas corpus, the right not to be imprisoned by the state without charge or reason. But yesterday this House decided to allow the state to lock up potentially innocent citizens for up to 6 weeks without charge. Now, the counter-terrorism bill will in all probability be rejected by the House of Lords very firmly. After all, what should they be there for if not to defend Magna Carta? But because the impetus behind this is essentially political, not security, the government will be tempted to use the Parliament Act to overrule the Lords. It has no democratic mandate to do this, since 42 days was not in its manifesto. Its legal basis is uncertain, to say the least. But purely for political reasons, this government's going to do that. And because the generic security arguments relied on will never go away. Technology, development complexity and so on. We'll next see 56 days, 70 days, 90 days. But in truth, 42 days is just one. It's perhaps the most salient example of the insidious, surreptitious and relentless erosion of fundamental British freedoms. And we will have, shortly, the most intrusive identity card system in the world. A CCTV camera for every 14 citizens. A DNA database bigger than any dictatorship has, with thousands of innocent children and a million innocent citizens on it. We've witnessed an assault on jury trials, that bulwark against bad law and its arbitrary abuse by the state. Shortcuts with our justice system that make our system neither firm nor fair. And the creation of a database state, opening up our private lives to the prying eyes of official snoopers and exposing our personal data to careless civil servants and criminal hackers. The state has security powers to clamp down on peaceful protest and so-called hate laws that stifle legitimate debate, whilst those who incite violence get off scot-free. This cannot go on. It must be stopped. And for that reason, today I feel it's incumbent on me to take a stand. I will be resigning my membership of this House, and I intend to force a by-election in Holter, Price and Hound. Now, I'll not fight it on the government's general record. There's no point repeating Crewe and Nantwich. I won't fight it on my personal record. I am just a piece in this great chess game. I will fight it. I will argue this by-election against the slow strangulation of fundamental British freedoms by this government.
Well, how interesting from David Davis for doing that. I mean, is he brave? Is he stupid? What is he going to achieve? He's going to stand this by-election and the Lib Dems are not going to oppose him just on this one issue, freedom, liberties in the country, because he doesn't agree with it one iota. Do you agree with David Davis? Now, if you were part of that constituency, would you now vote for him? Or do you think he's got the wrong end of the stick as far as this particular issue is concerned? Because, you know, if this country had been hard on crime and hard on the causes of crime in the first place, when it opened up its tenure in this country as New Labour, then maybe they wouldn't have been voting down on Westminster as far as this issue is concerned. Maybe we wouldn't have this problem at all, and maybe David Davis wouldn't have resigned and therefore forced a by-election and wanted to be voted in again on this own issue where he won't be opposed by the Lib Dems. I think, to be honest with you, it's not the right thing to do. But what does his boss think? Let's hear from David Cameron.
David Davis today has made a very brave, a very courageous decision, but it is a personal decision to hold a by-election. I wish him well with it. I think it is a courageous thing to do, but it's a decision he's made. It's not a decision of the Shadow Cabinet or of the Conservative Party. On the issue of 42 days, I absolutely agree with David that this is wrong, that it has been put into our law that people can be detained without charge for 42 days, and we will continue to fight that. My responsibility as leader of the Conservative Party is to put in place at all times the strongest, the best and the most permanent team to take on this government and to offer our country a better government. And that's why today I'm announcing that Dominic Grieve will be the new Shadow Home Secretary, starting immediately. He is, I think, an excellent choice, a superb performer in Parliament. He knows all of the issues. I've actually talked to David Davis about this. He thinks it's a very good appointment too. All of us wish David well in his by-election campaign. Many Conservatives, me included, will want to go up and campaign for him. But my responsibility is to make sure we continue the work of opposition and of building policy. And in home affairs, we cannot stand still. There is an epidemic in our country of knife and gun crime. We have problems of getting police onto our streets. There are appalling problems with drugs. And yes, there is the challenge of combating terrorism. That work must go on. That is why I've appointed Dominic Grieve today. I think he'll do a very good job as part of an extremely strong and united team.
That's an unusual unusual precedent that's been set by David Davis, isn't it, to do this? And it seems almost that David Cameron, in a way, is slightly distancing himself from what David Davis is doing, the Shadow Home Secretary, like he's not 110% behind this. But whatever happens, of course, David Davis has exactly the right to do this, as he opposes what the government are doing with this 42-day regime now coming into play officially as law. It's coming up to 6:15, just gone 6:15 on City Talk 105.9. This is Paul Jacobs driving you home until 7 o'clock, and here are the news headlines so far this evening. And Shadow Home Secretary, as we said, David Davis has sensationally resigned over the terror vote. He says he'll fight the government's increasing intrusion into people's lives in a resulting by-election in East Yorkshire. An apparent case of mistaken identity has cost one man his life after an argument in a supermarket. 57-year-old Kevin Tripp was attacked in Sainsbury's store in South London. The wife of failed July 21st suicide bomber has been jailed for 15 years for not telling police about her husband's plans. The Old Bailey heard Muslim convert Yeshi Gurma knew about Hussein Osman's plot to kill tube passengers in 2005 and that she could have stopped it. And Colleen and Wayne Rooney are celebrating being man and wife today. The couple finally tied the knot this morning at a lavish Italian villa. Well, let's catch up now with all the traffic and travel. Here's Kieran.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. M62 reports there that the eastbound is closed and queuing traffic due to a multi-vehicle accident there. It's at Junction 10 of the M6 Croft interchange, and it's right up to Junction 11 there, the A574, so watch out for that one. Also delays and a road closed due to a serious accident on the A565 Moor Lane. It's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. Over on the A55 eastbound, very slow there at Junction 32A of the A526 Hollywell, so watch out for that one. Over in McGull, traffic congestion on the A59 Dunningsbridge Road. It's northbound between the M58 Switch Island and Liverpool Road. M57 and M58 busy tonight, but moving well around the Switch Island. And over on the A41 southbound, that's now reopened and traffic returned to normal after that overturned lorry. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If you have any updates and it's safe to do so, give me a call, 0151 472-6868.
City Talk Travel.
And here's a message for van owners on the road. If you could buy a new van tomorrow, what would it be? A short, medium, long wheelbase, panel window, double cab, Luton? Luton? I definitely heard someone say Luton. Well, you're in luck, because you'll find your van alongside a wide range of other models in the Volkswagen commercial vehicles range. They have a van for every job, every eventuality. Just give them a nod. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles. Let's go to work.
Liverpool, European Capital of Culture 2008.
Described as the most important and dynamic business event in the region, the LDP Business Hub 2008 will be a two-day business extravaganza. Taking place at the Liverpool Echo Arena on June 17th and 18th, the LDP Business Hub is a unique opportunity for learning, networking and promoting your business. Be inspired by our keynote speakers, including the co-founder of Coffee Republic and the managing director of Goo Chocolate Puds. For information on all seminars, hub activity and to register for free, visit ldpbusinesshub.co.uk.
EasyLaw.co.uk are not a claims company and we don't sell claims to third parties. EasyLaw are a part of Cobley Solicitors, which guarantees you 25 years of experience, local knowledge and legal expertise. From criminal cases to personal injury, we'll deal with your claim calmly, quickly and efficiently. Let us help you today. Easy Law. 0151 242 9000.
Well, it's always a sad day when we see someone leave the company for a new job, and I'm sure you'd all like to join me in taking this opportunity to wish the very best of luck to David and Alan and Fiona and Gillian. Tom, Matt and Rachel, Rob and Carol.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
And Craig and Victoria and basically there's no one left.
Blockbuster exclusives and movies you won't find anywhere else, like The Bank Job.
You're not bank robbers.
Maybe that's why we could get away with it.
Based on a true story, Jason Statham and his crooked mates get more than they bargain for when they pull off the heist of a lifetime.
I'm in position, Terry.
No, name's Eddie. Sorry, Dave.
Rent The Bank Job now, exclusively at Blockbuster. Certificate 15.
City Talk 105.9 and Southport Tourism present the Northwest Motor Show, coming to Southport on the 21st and 22nd of June. This motoring mecca has everything from vintage and veteran to modern and racing cars, plus some of the latest technology in the motoring industry at the Techno Center. There's something for everyone. Whether you're a motor enthusiast or just looking for a great day out, tickets are only £4 if booked in advance, with children under 5 free. Find out more online at visitsouthport.com/motorshow with City Talk 105.9.
This is Paul Jacobs.
Yeah, it's Paul Jacobs on Drive Time for City Talk 105.9 from the delightful place that is Calderstones Park in the International Tennis Tournament. It's been a really, really great day. The sun is still shining. The wind's blowing a wee bit, but I don't care because I'm here on an outside broadcast and I fill myself full of sandwiches and cakes and coffee and tea. But we wanted to go for the head of the hierarchy here and find out exactly what the tennis tournament here is all about, how it's going to grow, etc., and the inside story. And joining me now is tournament director Anders Bull. Good evening to you, Anders.
Good evening, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic because I've enjoyed today like no other. And I said before on this programme, here was an area of grassland. When I was a wee kid, I was 7, 8, 9, I used to play with my dad. And the courts were absolutely terrible. They were abysmal. The ball bounced all over the shop. You never knew what you were going to get. But having played on the centre court today and also on the surrounding courts here, the quality of them is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Glendale's and the Liverpool City Council's, we work very close with them. They've done an incredible job. You've got to remember, on any given day throughout the summer, there's 40 grass courts here. Mm. We have we've obviously closed down the centre court 3 months prior to the event and take care of it on an hourly basis. It's in perfect shape now, and all the players are very complimentary, and even comparing it to Wimbledon.
Are they really?
They are. Pat Cash. He's very picky.
Tell us the idea of this tournament. How did it come about?
It came about 8 years ago. We felt that we wanted to sort of bring tennis out to the people, out to the public, and take it out of its a little bit of a snobbish environment. And we were looking for locations around in the UK. When I came here first time around, I said, this is a perfect spot. It's a little bit on the slope, but we had dug out about six of the 40 courts to make them in the conditions they are in now. So on any given day here, you have WTA players, you have ATP players who are preparing for Wimbledon, who wants as much grass court practice as possible, and we do a combination with the legends who play doubles and singles, and we've also added on female legends this year in terms of Jana Novotna and Martina Hingis, who's going to play tomorrow.
I'm happy to say I got a hug from Martina Hingis earlier on, so it's made my day. But as you say, this is like a natural stepping stone for Wimbledon, isn't it?
Yes, for the professional players, what they want is, what they need is grass court practice. The grass court season, unfortunately, is only 4 weeks, of which two is Wimbledon. So they come here and they're looking for practice. We guarantee them 3 matches because we have a round robin set up, and 5 matches if they go all the way. So I feel confident that the winner here will do well in Wimbledon.
A lot of people say, well, Nottingham is only a few miles down the road and they hold what is now quite a famed grass court tournament as well. Are you stepping on their toes?
I don't think so, but the amazing thing is that they're closing down Nottingham. So as of next year, Nottingham is moving down to Eastbourne, which means that we are the only real grass court event outside London or north of London, which is a great thing for us. I don't know why they do it, but they're making the tennis map more and more narrow, I think.
Does that mean we're going to get more bigger names? I mean, the names you've got up here this week are fantastic, aren't they? But it means you're going to attract even bigger names?
I think some of the big ATP players and WTA players, I don't really think they want to play a competitive event the week before Wimbledon. So if Nottingham moves, we may slot into their week. But there's a lot of planning yet to be done in those terms. But I think, you know, it's looking good for the future. This
could this ever become an official tournament on the tour? I mean, I know that's a big hike, isn't it? It's a big jump for you. But is that what your aspirations are?
Yeah, but not for this one, because you know, we'd like to have a combination of all things, of the ATP players, WTA players, and the legends on centre court on any given day. And that's what they don't have in any other events. Even at Wimbledon, you go to centre court there, you see three obviously very competitive matches, but you don't have the fun of the legends doubles and the legends singles. And I think that's what people need to see. Tennis is a very competitive game, yes, but it's also a fun game, and it can also be a circus.
Great ambience here today, great atmosphere, and I understand you want to keep that informality because you want to attract people to the game, because God knows, Britain needs some star players, yeah, don't they? Yeah. And this is part of the building process in a way, isn't it? Attracting people to come here over the week.
Yes, I mean, every year we're introducing more than 5,000 kids to tennis. If 10% of them can go home to their parents and say, you know, I want to play tennis, you know, there is a chance for the future. The kids from the Northwest have real fire in their bellies. Some of the best footballers are from here, so I see no reason why the best tennis players shouldn't come from here. So this is something we'd look to develop year on year.
Did you ever play tennis yourself?
I played a little bit. I played mostly badminton. That was my sport, actually. And obviously, I regret a little bit that I hadn't played more tennis, but I'm trying to get into it now. I have a daughter of 10, and my son is 7, and they both started. So my daughter actually beat me last time.
Did she really?
Embarrassing, but you know, she's practicing hard.
You're a man after my own heart, because badminton is my sport again. Now, there's people listening to this on City Talk 105.9, the Voice of Liverpool on Drive Time, and they're thinking, oh, well, I don't really fancy coming along, I'm not quite sure. We've got 3 more days,
yes.
The weather looks as though it's set okay, it's still a chance to come along this evening, actually, as well, but it's beautiful. What names can they look forward to seeing if they come over the next 3 days?
Well, tomorrow, the big match, I think, is the rematch of the Wimbledon final from 1996 with Martina Hingis against Martina Navratilova. Martina Jana Navratilova.
The great Jana Navratilova, who, of course, we all remember when she lost her first final.
Yeah, when she cried on the shoulder of the Duchess of Kent.
Yeah.
Now, that was a memorable final, and it's great to have her here. Also, Martina Hingis was the youngest Wimbledon winner, and she took over that throne from the local Lotte Dodd, who was born in Liverpool back in 1871. She was the youngest Wimbledon winner in 1886 when she won 1 of 5 titles. So we're sort of celebrating the legacy of Miss Lotte Dodd here as well.
Wow, Jana Novotná. I mean, what an absolute heroine she is, and what a lovely lady she is to boot. And the lovely thing I saw earlier today, Anders, was this. I saw Pat Cash, but before that, I saw a couple of the players, Martina Hingis in particular, actually knocking up with youngsters aged 7, 8, 9 years of age.
Yeah.
And there's some great talent around, isn't there?
Yeah,
if only we can just unearth it and cajole it and nurture it.
I know, they have to be, I think the LTA have to look sort of outside their little pot down in London and spread tennis out to the people. And I think the most important thing with tennis is to let people watch it, because to watch tennis live as opposed to watching it on television is like night and day, and in particular on grass. It is just a beautiful day out, and to see these WTA players and the ATP players, the likes of Caroline Wozniacki and Ashley Hartlepool, the way they hit the ball, the way they practice, the way they dedicate themselves around it, it's just an amazing sport.
Actually, unbelievable. Actually, if you come down here, you see these youngsters hit the ball, how close they hit to the neck, how low the trajectory it is, you won't believe it. You just won't believe it. The timing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You can actually answer this from an objective viewpoint, Anders. It's Anders Borg, who's tournament director here at Calderstoves International Tennis. You can answer this from an objective viewpoint. Is tennis in Britain still a class sport?
Well, I mean, that's what we try to get away from. We try to bring tennis out to the people and to the public so they can enjoy it and so they can get keen and so they want to start playing. That's what we try to do. To do that in London, to get a ticket for Wimbledon is pretty much impossible, and it costs a fortune. Same for Queens. It's very, very difficult. We have to spread. We have to let more people see live what a fantastic game tennis is.
Now, I take it you're already preparing for next year,
yeah,
because once one starts, yeah, you've got to be looking ahead, you've got to be forward thinking. You're a businessman,
yeah,
as well as someone who basically is an administrator as well. Are you going to let us in for any secrets for next year who you might just bring in?
There are still a couple of legends that hasn't been here yet.
Okay.
That were close to coming this year, but unfortunately it didn't work out. But you know, you can only start planning, as you say, right away, and that is my mission, to get a certain...
JP?
A certain player up here. I'm not going to mention any names, but he's very famous.
Okay, so maybe we look forward to that. And tell me at the beginning, when you started, let's go all the way back to the beginning, 7 years ago. How easy was it to... Because you need a good financial base for such a tournament to build from. Yeah. And the City Talk 105.9 is obviously part of it this year. How easy was it to find that financial oomph to get you going in the first place?
It was a healthy investment, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if my... I haven't really told anyone exactly what it was, because then they would ask to go to the doctor and check my head out.
No, but in today's economic climate, people
are struggling. No, it's not easy, but I mean, we're getting more and more support from our sponsors, in particular the local sponsors. Magol Development is a fantastic local sponsor. We have Brabner's, Rendsburg, Beetham, Red Hot Media, and obviously Tradition ICAP as being the title sponsor, and of course the solicitors in Brownness. These are the things that are totally 100% important to run like this, run event like this. Also, of course, we have a great relationship with the City Council and the 08 company, and it's sort of all the sort of pieces, they come together, and if one piece is missing, the whole thing falls apart. So everyone is very important in the success behind this this event.
Two more questions for you.
Yeah.
Two very quick ones. One, have you got a spare coat with the Liverpool International Tennis emblem on it, because they look absolutely fantastic for me? And two, who's going to win Wimbledon men's this year?
I think it will be an outsider.
Think
it will be an outsider. But I'd rather answer the women's field.
Go with the women's.
Because I would like to give a Caroline Wozniacki. I'd like to put some extra money on
Caroline Wozniacki. I saw her today.
She hits the ball very sweet. Grass is a perfect surface for her.
Yeah.
She may get a seeding, and that may open up the door for her. So I'll put a tenner on her.
And a great feather in the cap for Liverpool, that would be, wouldn't it, for the tournament?
That would be fantastic. I've been looking for that for years. So that would be absolute excellent.
Listen, Anders Wilk, thank you for joining us today on City Talk 105. And it's been an absolute pleasure, and we wish you the best for the remainder of the tournament and for the years ahead as well.
Thank you very much for coming.
Anders Wilk, Tournament Director, live here on City Talk 105.9. It's bang on 6:30. Let's get the news headlines with Laura Harms.
Shadow Home Secretary David Davis has dramatically resigned as an MP. The Tories protesting against the government's plans to lock terror suspects up for 42 days without charge. He'll now stand in a by-election in his Yorkshire constituency, saying he has to make a point about Labour's attack on people's freedoms. An apparent case of mistaken identity has cost a man his life after an argument in a supermarket. 57-year-old Kevin Tripp was attacked in a Sainsbury's store in London. A man's appeared in court this afternoon charged with his murder. The wife of a failed July the 21st suicide bomber has been jailed for 15 years for not telling police about her husband's plans. The Old Bailey heard Muslim convert Yeshi Gurma knew about Hussein Osman's plot to kill tube passengers in 2005 and could have stopped it. And the wedding of the year has got off to a damp start. The heavens opened in Italy as Wayne Rooney and Colin McLaughlin tied the knot today. It's thought the lavish ceremony cost around £5 million. And now with your sport, here's Becky.
City Sport. Everton have put a stop to rumours they're chasing Yossi Benayoun this afternoon, dismissing the claims as absolute fantasy. Reports this morning had the midfielder down as a possible target for David Moyes, but club officials say it's never been on the agenda. It's thought Moyes is still weighing up making an approach for Bristol City youngster Cristian Ribeiro, although City boss Gary Johnson says he's had no contact yet. The first Anfield friendly in 5 years is reportedly being penciled in for August with Atletico Madrid, the visitors. Fernando Torres' old club are thought to be in negotiations about a match on the 8th of August. Ideal preparation for the Reds for their Champions League qualifier. Meanwhile, Martin O'Neill standing firm over Gareth Barry, with the two clubs locked in a stalemate over his fee. Villa holding out for £20 million, Rafa's latest offer of £14 million rejected this morning. Germany and Croatia are battling it out for the chance to join Portugal in the quarters of Euro 2008. They're 70 minutes into their tie, with the Croats 2-0 up. Later, Austria and Poland must avoid defeat if they're to have a chance of qualifying from Group B. Tiger Tiger Woods has clawed himself back to level par after a nightmare start to the US Open, double bogeying the first hole. Early leaders are Steve Stricker and Patrick Sheehan. And Andy Murray's through to the quarters of the Artois Championships at Queens. He's come from a set down to beat Latvian Ernest Gulbis 5-7, 6-1, 6-4. Murray survived an injury scare when he fell awkwardly on damp grass. Meanwhile, there's been plenty of actions at Calderstones today in the Liverpool tennis tournament. The highlight being a magnificent tussle between Goran Ivanisevic and Pat Cash. Ivanisevic coming out on top. There's more in half an hour. City Sport.
Our thanks to Becky Davis and Laura for the news and the sport. We're at Calderstones Park here on Drive Time at City Talk 105.9. We're just hearing latest from Euro 2008. Germany have got a goal back. It's Croatia 2, Germany 1 after Jens Lehmann made a horrific mistake for the second Croatian goal. We'll keep you in contact with everything that's happening over there in Austria and Switzerland in the latest round of matches in Euro 2008. 79 minutes gone. Croatia 2, Germany 1, and you can be sure the Germans will be gunning for that leveller, which will almost certainly put them through to the next round. Where are we this afternoon here on City Talk 105.9? Well, I can tell you, we're in the sunshine. We're at Calderstones Park in the south of Liverpool for the International Tennis World Tournament. You probably heard there Anders Borg, you've with us before the news, who's the tournament director, talking about how the tournament grew up, how it came about, and the stars that they are trying to attract. Well, I can tell you exclusively here on City Talk 105.9, the main man he's trying to attract for next year's tournament is John McEnroe. And if he pulls that off, that would be one heck of a coup. And can you imagine the crowds there if he wears his headband and he starts spouting off to the referee? I, for one, definitely want to be here. And we've seen all the young players as well, the younger women players who are coming along. Of course, Anders mentioned one of them is going to be maybe seeded at the women's tournament on grass at Wimbledon later this month as well. And there are a whole host of under 15 players as well who have been knocking up in front of us in the last half an hour or so. And they are sublime, the tennis they play. But more than anything, they're athletes and they're unbelievably fit the way they run around the court and manage to get on the end of lost causes as well. But earlier on today, I spoke to two regulars on the men's tour from America. And this is what they had to say.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9. It's Paul Jacobs driving you home to 7. Actually, I'll be smashing you home till 7 today. Calderstones International Tennis Tournament. Weather's just about holding off, so I've come into the Players' Lounge to have a word with Amir Delic and Robert Kendrick, who are playing here today. Good afternoon to you, gentlemen. Amir, we'll come to you first. What's your schedule going to be here, and then where are you going afterwards?
Well, looking forward to playing a couple of matches here, hopefully this afternoon, if the weather holds up. And then hopefully stick around through the weekend and then find my way to Wimbledon next week.
Is this your first time in Liverpool?
First time, yeah. Hopefully not the last, though.
Where have you been around the city to see?
Well, I haven't really ventured out too many places yet. Just a couple of restaurants and where the hotel is. But I think tonight we're going to try to get in some trouble somewhere.
Well, can I come with you as well if you're going to get into trouble? Because I am trouble boy of radio. You're going down the news bar, apparently. I'm going to be there with... I'll buy you a drink or seven, yeah?
Sounds good.
Robert's with us, Robert Kendrick. How you doing, Robert? All right?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, I'm good. First time in Liverpool?
Fourth time in Liverpool.
Where have you been to in Liverpool that's made you open up your eyes?
I just enjoy coming back, you know, getting the sport back here in Liverpool. And I've been to quite a few places around town, but I'm not going to name them like my friend did here. No press allowed at my parties.
Oh, so that means I'm out of it then. There's no chance of me getting on your tailcoats at all now.
Strictly just for players. No press allowed, please.
Free drinks.
I don't care.
strictly pros, and we're talking pro tennis, not pro journalists here. Are you going on to Wimbledon later, Robert, as well?
Yeah, I got the same schedule as Amir. We're going to head down there on hopefully Sunday afternoon after the final here, and then qualify for Wimbledon next week, and then go from there.
Now, you guys obviously know each other very well. I think you make perfect partners for doubles. What's going on there, Robert? You've dissed him, haven't you?
Well, I did. You know, we had a tough match back in the States, and after that match, I said, you know what, we need a little break. So we're taking a little break.
Amir, is this like a divorce or just a separation?
Just a temporary separation. So.
Anyway, you've got no kids to worry about, which is great, isn't it? Anyway, what's your favorite surface to play on, Robert?
I actually prefer grass. You know, I love it over here. This month of the season is just, you know, I've had my best results on it, and I look forward to playing on grass.
And your aims and objectives for the rest of the year, what are you sort of looking forward to most of all? I'm here first.
Well, for me, is staying healthy and trying to get back into, top 75, top six, top 50 in the world, or as close to last year. So that's just a plan, take it week by week or match by match, as cliche as that sounds. But that's
really cliche, that, actually. Yeah.
but anyway, so yeah, just try to play as well as possible.
And Robert, will you be entered in singles and all the doubles events at Wimbledon as well?
Yeah, this is similar as Amir, just trying to stay healthy out here for the rest of the year and get back into the top 75. And that's the goal for both of us, so hopefully we can do it.
Amir Delic and Robert Kendrick, thank you very much. We wish you the best of luck, not only for Calderstones, but for Wimbledon and beyond, gents. Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Great guys, and we saw them knocking up actually about half an hour ago. They were playing each other, and Robert Kendrick, my word, what a serve he's got. Now, I spoke to him later on off mic, and he said to me his serve has been timed at 97 miles an hour and faster than that, so he has got one heck of a serve. They're going to be appearing at Wimbledon, and Amir Delic has actually come back from an injury, and he was a little bit sort of tottering around the court, but my word, you can imagine when he's fit, he'll certainly be a top 50 player, and he'll be back to Calderstones. They love it here. They'll be coming back next year. It's coming up to 6:41 on City Talk 105.9. Paul Jacobs driving you home, of course, till 7 o'clock when Peter McDowell takes over the reins, of course, for sport between 7 and 10. And then between 10 and 2, it's Sir Peter Price exclusively on City Talk 105.9. If you are driving around, driving home, or maybe going out this evening and coming to Calderstones for the tennis tournament, you'll need the traffic and travel with Kieran.
City Talk Travel.
Thanks, Paul. Queuing traffic due to that earlier accident there on the M62 eastbound. It's between junction 10 of the M6 Crofton Exchange and junction 11 there at Birchwoods, causing heavy delays around there tonight. Also delays and a road close due to an accident investigation work on the A565 Moor Lane. It's both ways between Parkwall Road and Oral Hill Lane. Very slow traffic on the A55 eastbound tonight there at junction 32A of the A5026 in Holywell. Over Magull, traffic's returned to normal on the A59 Dunningsbridge Road northbound. That's between the M58 Switch Island and Liverpool Road. And finally, the M57 and M58 both ways busy tonight, but seems to be moving okay around the Switch Island Junction. That's your latest traffic and travel here on City Talk. If any updates, and it's safe to do so, give me a call 0151 472 6868.
City Talk Travel. European Capital of Culture 2008.
The time had come for Peter Jones to relocate offices, but he realized that trying to work and move was like walking into a danger zone. The horror of moving dawned on him. He felt alone, with no one to turn to. Computer cables mysteriously went missing, and there were problems with the S drive. Peter watched as precious time ticked by and work piled up.
No! Move office without the drama. BT offers a dedicated service manager to take care of moving all your BT business services from beginning to end, so you can get on with doing what you do best. Visit bt.com/move. BT, bringing it all together.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is, you need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
For free impartial business advice, just ask Business Link Northwest. Call 0845 00688 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
Lookers are spot on for savings this summer. So walk around your local showroom and see if you can spot the 08 Plate Corsa 1.0 Breeze with aircon and alloys from 6980 after EcoFlex allowance. Or the 08 Plate Corsa 1.0 Life for just £145 deposit and £145 a month. Sunspots at Lookers. See them today.
APR 15.8, cash price after EcoFlex allowance 6480. Initial payment 290402. 58 monthly payments of 145.02. Final payment 269.02. Total amount payable 911920. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you creative?
Energetic.
And full of ideas?
Then come and work with us.
At Halton Borough Council, we'll give you all the training you need to work from home as a registered childminder. So for a taste of a new career working with children, visit our Childcare Information Day on Wednesday, June the 18th at Halton Lee Shopping Centre. Or call Halton Children's Information Service on 01928 704 306 or click halton.gov.uk now.
in association with National Childcare Month.
International Street Markers has arrived in Williamson Square and Tarleton Street, and the heart of Liverpool city centre is alive as traders from around the world bring flavours and goods from across the globe. From unique gifts to fabulous foods, experience the world in one city in the heart of Liverpool's very own retail area. The Giraud International Street Markers is here till Sunday. Brought to you by the Business Improvement District, creating a cleaner, safer, vibrant city centre.
Phil and Kim at breakfast with Lucas Vauxhall.
My theory is that it's pretty much female biased as well, this, because of course we like to tipple-tapple.
Really? I think so.
You mean all the men that I work with that were in complete denial about reading Heat magazine secretly read it at home?
Yeah, I betcha. Everybody, you know, I've had this said to me a number of times, but it's, well, it's a woman's thing. Is it?
Come
it
on,
is
Phil,
not,
come clean.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
We men might look down their nose.
Oh, do you know, I could talk to you for hours.
Phil Easton. Kim Hughes. Phil and Kim at breakfast. City Talk. 105.9. City Talk 105.9. Money Minute.
Gordon Brown is appealing to both sides in the threatened tanker drivers dispute to try and reach a deal. Talks are continuing to try and avert the four-day stoppage due to start tomorrow morning. Motoring organisations say there shouldn't be any fuel shortages unless drivers panic buy. A batch of more than 40,000 cartons of baby milk's been recalled. The Food Standards Agency says it's because customers complained the product had curdled. SMA Nutrition has pulled the batch of 1 litre packs of its gold, ready-to-use variety off shop shelves following 11 complaints. The housing slump is thought to have wiped nearly £300 billion off the value of our homes. Property website Zoopla claims £1 billion a day is being lost. And in the city, the FTSE's closed up 67 points at 57.90.5.
Money Minute.
The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
It's drive time, driving home to 7 o'clock when Peter McDowell will take over the reins. As ever with sport, all the big talking points between 7 and 10, including, of course, the football. We're keeping up to date on that, and Germany are on the precipice of losing to Croatia. They're 2-1 down with a few minutes to go, and of course, if Croatia win this, they're virtually through, aren't they, to the quarter-final knockout stages. If you're staying with City Talk 105.9, and you haven't got a reason not to, between 2 and 6 a.m. in the morning, Roy Basnett's back on the boat, talking, well, it's a cracking show, I think, Beyond the Dark, looking at all aspects of the paranormal. Now, this week, it's pretty special because Roy's going to be joined by the one and only Derek Acura, who will be giving us his views on the afterlife and looking ahead to his stage show in Liverpool next week. Plus, Mark Rosny from the Merseyside Anomalies Research Association. He'll be in the studio telling us about the latest cases he is investigating and taking your calls, text and email. So Derek Acura with Roy Basnett between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. this morning, only on City Talk 105.9. Now, if you're late home from work or you've arrived home and you've missed the news headlines, here are the in-depth stories of the day. And a man's appeared in court charged with murdering a shopper in a supermarket. 57-year-old father of one, Kevin Tripp, was attacked on Tuesday at a Sainsbury's store in South London. It's thought he was the victim of mistaken identity in a row over queue jumping. 37-year-old Tony Virasamy has been remanded in custody. Reporter Greg Eastill is outside the store.
Various different versions of what sparked the violence seem to be circulating. The police investigation here is continuing, but the simple facts are these, that Kevin Tripp, a father of a five-year-old daughter, came here on Tuesday night to do some shopping. He didn't leave with his groceries, though. He left with serious head injuries after allegedly being punched. Medical teams did try and fight for 24 hours to save his life, but he died last night. And as you can imagine, all of this has had a devastating impact on his family. Everyone, including an elderly neighbour that I spoke to who knew Kevin Tripp, bewildered by what's happened.
I thought a scuffing just broke out in the queue down there, and I thought that it was simple, that Kevin had an abrasion or something, and that he was taken to George's and kept in overnight. I didn't give it a second thought.
37-year-old Tony Verasami. He appeared at Wimbledon Magistrates Court earlier this morning. His case was immediately transferred to the Crown Court. He'll appear there on September the 18th, charged with murder. The simple facts, as I say, that a shopping trip has left one family planning a funeral and another man in jail facing a murder charge.
1.2 million patients have signed a petition against super surgeries, but health ministers say the British Medical Association is scaremongering. Here's more from Verity Gear.
The polyclinics are designed to offer better health care closer to home. Private firms are being encouraged to run them, but Dr. Lawrence Buckman from the British Medical Association argues they'll threaten traditional GP surgeries.
The idea of a mini hospital parked in the community means that all the neighbouring practices will be damaged by it. Some of them will have to close if they're too close to the polyclinic, and that's not going to be good for patient choice or patient care, and certainly no good for patient continuity.
A petition against the clinics, signed by 1.2 million people, has been handed to Downing Street this afternoon. Health Minister Ben Bradshaw says the BMA is simply scaremongering and playing on patients' anxiety over privatisation.
If I got up a petition making a claim about something that was terrible that wasn't going to happen, I think I'd get quite a lot of signatures for it as well.
The plans would create a network of 150 polyclinics offering a range of medical services. Dr. Parveen Agarwal says a new commercially run clinic over the road from his surgery in Coventry is forcing him to close.
By having a medical centre 200 yards away from this place, I don't think it is going to serve anybody. You know, it is going to undermine three practices which are already here.
The government says GPs are fighting against potentially more cost-effective competition. Yet the doctors themselves say all this will end the patient relationship and reduce care.
And Colleen McLaughlin's become Mrs. Wayne Rooney. The couple's civil ceremony took place at a luxury 17th century villa in Italy earlier today. Lena Madavi has all the details.
With the world's press on their doorstep, Wayne Rooney and Colleen McLaughlin tied the knot this morning at an intimate civil ceremony in a lavish 16th century Italian villa. Only 80 guests were invited, including close friends, footballers and family. Heat magazine's Hannah Fernando says there's a good reason the couple wanted to keep it intimate.
It's very difficult because there have been a few parties before that have caused a bit of uproar with the family and what have you, and there's talk about whether they'll all behave themselves and there'll be two parties rather than just one, just the one for the magazine and then a party when they get home.
After the ceremony, the newlyweds were given a police escort for the short journey to La Cavara, an abbey which has hosted three popes for the wedding reception. The 22-year-olds are rumoured to have shelled out £5 million for their nuptials, with OK Magazine reported to be meeting half that cost. Claire Challis is the author of the beautiful game A Wag's Tale and says Colleen's bound to look amazing.
Well, we know that Colleen's having a Marchesa dress, which is reputed to be over £130,000. She's got Georgina Chapman making her shoes and obviously all the hair and makeup team that she's used to before she goes out.
But of course, it wouldn't be a footballer's wedding without all the other wags in attendance. Claire Challis says the wives and girlfriends present will all be fighting to outdo each other.
I mean, the important thing with wag weddings is always to be different. They will have been planning what to wear. They'll probably be taking four or five outfits over there, probably even planning a change mid-wedding themselves.
No word yet on where the happy couple are planning to spend their honeymoon, but cynical bookmakers have offered odds the marriage will be over in less than a year at 10 to 1.
Any other business?
Hi, it's Any Other Business on City Talk 105.9, driving out to 7. These are the stories you may not have heard locally, nationally or nationally from around the world. And we'll start off in Denmark, where a group of Danish students have been kicked off Facebook for cooking and eating a cat. The students from the Danish School of Journalism in Aarhus posted 30 pictures of themselves cooking and eating the animal, reports the Copenhagen Post. But their protest, aimed at drawing attention to the way pigs and cattle are raised for meat, was slammed by animal rights lobby today. A 104-year-old grandmother has been cleaning the streets in her city in China for 84 years. I couldn't do this on City Talk for 84 years. Marbury, they wouldn't even want me for that long. And she's done it for free. Ding Yu Zen of Afeng Town in Dong Tai City sweeps the roads near her home every day, reports the People's Daily. She says she's got into the habit in her 20s when she and her husband ran a tea house. Maybe Mick and I should start a tea house. We would clean the roads from the port to our tea house every day, she said. And although the tea house closed several years ago, Ding said she has never got out of the habit of sweeping the roads. She's won several awards for her work for the community and has become something of a local... Well done to her. That is different class, isn't it? If everybody swept their own roads in Liverpool, then maybe the council tax would go down. Hungry bears turned the tables on diners in Romania, where they walked to a restaurant and sat at the tables. A 25-stone brown bear and her two cubs tucked into a three-course meal as terrified customers left their meals as they fled behind. And a man who suffered a heart attack in Paris woke up just as surgeons were about to remove his organs for donation. Oh, I'm so sorry. If you're having your dinner now, we'll bypass that one. We'll take it away. Let's go to the next story. A woman on a hen night who didn't even know she was pregnant went into labour well-dressed in a bumblebee costume. Ali Ashley, who was 30, was in Blackpool to celebrate her friend's forthcoming wedding when she began to feel unwell. Miss Ashwell, a human resources officer who lives in Newcastle-upon-Tyne, returned to her hotel room because she didn't want to spoil the fun that she was having at her own hen party. And finally, Man Mountain Manuel Arriba's only wish as he celebrated his 43rd birthday yesterday was to be able to walk down the aisle. Once the world's heaviest man at more than half a ton, he's now down to 50 stone. But losing 550 pounds doesn't mean he can stand on his own 2 feet. Oh, my word. How heavy do you weigh, Peter McDowell?
Nowhere near as heavy as you.
You cheeky man. You should have seen me floating like a butterfly around Centre Court today.
I heard
today.
All about it. Maybe you found your vocation at last.
Now, I think a ball boy is more like my vocation. Hey, you need to fill me in because we've got a fuzzy TV screen in front of us, but Germany have lost, haven't they?
They have. 2-1. I thought the Czech Republic were quite impressive, but you can never write Germany off, can you? I know there'll be loads of English people celebrating that particular win or defeat for them, but I would still say Germany in with a chance, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. You never put them got to win their last match and they're through, aren't they?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was quite intriguing. I was watching it through one eye, listening to your fantastic outside broadcast from down there today.
I'll tell you what, it's been one heck of a day here, and the great thing is, you know, Pete, there's loads of youngsters here as well, and doesn't British tennis need it big time?
Not all.
And you know what, the other great thing is, it's what we call accessibility, which we never seem to get in tennis, because everybody believes it's a class sport for the upper classes, and the kids can come in here age 5, 6, 7 and 8, and they can automatically get a knockout with some of the greatest players from the past. Martina Hingis did it. She was great with the kids. Goran, even Ivzovic, I can get it out again. He was fantastic with the kids. And Pat Cash played to the crowd on Centre Court. Have you been down here before?
I've been down.
Fantastic.
But that is the very nature of it. I mean, Anders was saying last night, wasn't he? It's almost like watching the Harlem Globetrotters when the legends come on together. It's all the showboating. And that is what it all takes, isn't it, to get people into a new sport. Maybe they're football fans. Take them down to Calderstones, and that's probably how they will get into the sport. And you're dead on. You know, it's not a middle-class sport, and that's how it's been portrayed, I think, in much media over the years.
Well, Pete, maybe you and I will enter the mixed doubles next year. How about that?
As long as you wear a skirt.
I'm game. What's on the show tonight, mate? Thursday night, is it fight night?
It is fight night tonight, indeed. Going to be talking to Paul Smith, who's got a defence of his English middleweight title coming up very soon, indeed. There were 5 Scousers that won at a big show in Wigan over the weekend as well. John Donnelly, who suffered a defeat in his first professional bout, bounced back with a good win a month after his first defeat, so we're going to be talking to him. I don't know whether you saw the Great Britain squad had unveiled their new kit today. Lots of athletes in tight lycra. I thought you'd have marked that card, to be honest.
No.
But one of our Olympians is a boxer. Super heavyweight David Price is going to be talking to us about hopefully getting deliverance of his tracksuit and all the excitement in the build-up to Beijing now, and in particular in Liverpool with Price being part of it. And Gijard Ajetovic, who is an adopted Scouse, who's from Serbia originally, but he's going to be talking to us a little bit later on, or his trainer will be rather, George Schofield. He's got an IBO world title fight happening in Australia in the not too distant future, so we'll find out how his training is going. And then in the final hour tonight, it's Ron Yates, the Colossus.
Ah, what a player.
Talking to us about the game or the match of his life tonight.
I met Ron Yates about 6 years ago, and I looked up, And I looked up, and I looked up even further. Yeah. My dad was a great fan of his, thought he was just an absolute rock of a player.
And he's got the softest handshake ever. Huge hands like shovels, but you expect to get a bit of a bone cruncher off him, and he's actually quite a genteel guy. Takes a lot to rile him, but when he gets riled, you wouldn't want to be in the same room, would you?
I was going to say it takes a lot after producer Mick, who's a man mountain, but he's a very gentle little bear, really, right. To be honest with you, isn't he? What do you think about the Yossi Benayoun story?
Link with Everton? Yeah. Or link with Villa? Link with Everton, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Moyes is after a bit more of a muscle-bound central midfielder than Yossi would bring. But there's been some rumours that Villa could take him in a make-weight. So I think he's one of those that could secretly be made available by Liverpool if they do get a price that they see fit to get rid of him for.
Pete, I'm looking forward to the show. It starts bang on 7 o'clock. It's Peter McDowell with Sport. My thanks to everybody today for this outside broadcast. It's been brilliant work from Steve and Craig. And most of all, to